If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
If you want to see the pictures that Johnny took as we were driving in, you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. And Johnny put up a bunch of pictures. The beam was on tonight.
Bright. Oh, my gosh. Bob Fukuda, keeper of the big plug, in the studio with us.
Yes, ma'am.
You know stuff.
Yeah.
Is there somebody that's the keeper of the big beam? Is there a person that makes the decision?
I don't know.
Because some nights it's on, some nights it isn't.
And some nights it's bright, and some nights it's high, but tonight it's low. I mean, if I was in one of those apartments in the Gold Coast, I might be a little upset.
It's a little, and it's moving a little slower. So is there a guy whose business card says Beam Boss?
Well, I don't know for sure.
But?
I would guess, and this is just a guess on my part, that his name is Jim.
Okay.
Why?
Jim Beam.
Oh!
Thank you very much.
Oh,
thank
my
you.
Gosh.
I'm turning off the microphone now.
You are a dad.
How many shows do you do tonight?
Well, come on. It was you teed it up for me.
I know.
Looking for the name of the guy that runs the beam?
Yes. I'm thinking.
I'm just guessing Jim.
I was thinking Bob, that just for alliteration, but yours was much better. Dad.
Jim Beam. Yeah. Oh,
that
yeah.
was a best dad
That's
joke.
That's a dad joke.
Yep.
I'm proud
yep.
of it, Jeff.
That,
thank
that
you.
Works.
By the way,
I wouldn't put that on your resume.
The picture of your son wearing the Harry Carey glasses makes me smile every time I came across it on my Facebook feed.
Oh, he's a sweetie, and he loves the Cubs, and he loves Harry Carey, and he loves those glasses, and so do I.
Were you guys at Harry Carey?
We were at Harry Carey's, yes.
Oh, my gosh. So. And he's wearing the glasses, and he just looks so happy.
Oh, yeah.
I know you guys were giddy when the Cubs made the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely. Still celebrating. And I wish the Cubs didn't celebrate so hard, because they haven't won a game since.
Yeah.
That was our next thought, was, gee, what happened? Are they just phoning it in now that they made the playoffs?
Well, they only got one hit the next day, so I don't want to accuse them of anything. I'm just saying that's quite a coincidence.
Well, can I suggest, for some fun baseball, look to the south side. It's really been exciting.
They've had a good second half.
Yes.
They've had a wonderful second half, and obviously they're not making the playoffs, but boy, are you seeing the potential that I think is going to come to fruition over the next 2 years.
I just don't want them to look back on this season and have 100 losses. That's my hope. I want to keep it under. Oh, come on.
I think they have 97 losses, I think. So.
Well, they could go on a winning streak.
They certainly can. That's the positive. That's the bright side.
That's right. Well, it's nice to be back here. We were off last week. Ron, I wish you could have been at the concert that we did last Sunday night at the Rialto
Bogus,
Square.
Oh, Susie Boggess, yes. Wow.
Oh, my gosh. It was every kind of music represented on that stage.
Literally, every kind of music.
From hardcore blues, I mean the real Chicago blues, to folk music with Bonnie Kolak, to cool music with the Shy Lights and Marshall Thompson.
One of the original Shy Lights sounds just as good.
Dressed in a... You guys need to get an outfit like this.
He was styled in this wonderful white outfit and this white big brim hat.
And he had a fan.
And a white fan.
He had a fan that matched his outfit, and it had sparkles all over it, and his shoes matched.
And can I hold you on a fan?
Yes.
We all needed fans last week. See, the Rialto Square Theater is
99 years old.
And they've done a lot of refurbishing to the Rialto Square Theater for at least the first half of the concert. And there were thousands of people there last week. Mm-hmm. For at least the first half of the concert, it was incredibly hot, about 197 degrees backstage.
Unreal. And every curl fell out of my hair.
But by the time we got to the second half of the concert, things were getting okay. But, oh, boy.
But the building is so quirky, and you know it's got to be haunted. There was a point where we wanted to get from stage left to stage right or vice versa. And they said, well, you could climb behind the screen where people are performing out front. And I thought, what? They'll probably see our silhouette walking across the stage. I didn't think that's a good idea. They said, go down the stairs.
And also, there were all kinds of wires backstage.
Oh, yeah. And it was dark.
It was dark, so no.
So they said, well, just take that staircase and walk across and then come up the staircase. The staircase can be in a horror movie.
Wow.
It was a fire escape staircase that curved down the stairs, and this it's raw, moist brick walls all around
it,
you.
It was a staircase that was reminiscent of Phantom of the Opera, the original silent
version
of
Phantom of the Opera.
Opera.
Wow. Yes, yes. Yeah. And then we were in a room backstage waiting for our chance to step out on stage.
Okay, this is partly... Now, if you're going to be backstage and you're there for a while and you're drinking pop, coffee, whatever you're drinking, at some point you're going to get a call from nature, right?
Right. So we were told if anybody comes to use the restroom in this room that you're in, tell them
which was right off the stage.
Right next to us. I mean, we could reach out and touch the door. Tell that person they can't flush.
Because
and I said, what?
Flushing would be heard by everybody
in the audience. So sure enough, somebody would walk up and say, and I would have to say, you can only do number one and you can't flush. And I thought, oh, and by the way, my name is Johnny Putman from WGN Radio. Yeah, I'm meeting these, you know, there's Richard Marx and Daisy Fuentes. Oh, no, you want to go back up to your dressing room. You don't want to be down here.
And speaking of people that we had the pleasure of meeting, Lisa Fielding.
Yes.
From BBM.
Right. Mm-hmm.
She is on the board at the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum. She took one of the best pictures of us anyone has ever taken. It was a behind-the-screen shot looking from backstage out onto the stage. And if you want to see what it looks like, go to our blog, and the address of our blog is steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. It's one of the best pictures anyone has ever taken. We love it.
Because you don't see our faces.
Yeah.
I look like I'm 18 because you don't see my face. So it's great. And we're in the dark, and the light's shining on us.
But the way... She's a really good photographer because not only do you see us from behind this curtain backstage, but the way she did it, the spotlight was coming down on us, so then you have our shadows standing next to us.
Right.
It's a really cool picture.
Probably the ghost that I just mentioned.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the Phantom of the Opera stairs.
Yes. I'm not kidding you. When they opened the door and said, take these stairs, I looked back at Steve and I thought, I don't know. Maybe we should leave breadcrumbs. This is so creepy. The place is so busy, you could disappear. Nobody would know you were gone.
Well,
so I had all these crazy thoughts going through my head. But it's a lovely theater.
And
oh
we had
gosh.
The best time with Susie Boggess. She was terrific. Not
was.
Because we're huge Susie fans and friends, but she was wonderful. She sang, played guitar. She had an electric guitar player and a stand-up bass, and it was wonderful.
It was. And
we traded books with her.
And she received a very special award from Illinois State University. And she's a graduate of ISU. And they had a big, beautiful award for her. And someone caught a shot of her gasping when she, what?
And I believe that was after she was inducted into the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum Hall
right.
of Fame.
First
and
country
she was
performer.
The first country performer, and I believe, was she the first woman or first country
know.
Performer?
Hmm.
Anyhow, it was a really, really good night.
It was. So for those thousands of people were in the audience, we never ventured out from behind stage because I was afraid that I might see someone and they would go, oh, dear Lord, you look hot. Because I was. But at least when I'm on stage, they don't know that because, you know, there's a little bit of a distance. And it was really fun because the first two rows were filled with Susie fans.
Yeah.
They were so receptive and they were just really psyched about her being there. Disturbed was there. I said every kind of music was represented. Disturbed was there. Richard Marx was there, a singer-songwriter, mm-hmm. told some great stories too. Mm-hmm. And he is married to Daisy Fuentes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you all remember Daisy Fuentes from MTV? Or was it VH1? I think it was MTV.
I think it was MTV.
Well, okay.
Anyhow.
She's got a picture in her attic because she looks like she did 25 years ago.
They both looked terrific.
They did. That's a pretty couple. Real pretty people there.
And Richard Marx surprised us when he was doing his performance. He talked about Lionel Richie.
Was from Joliet.
I didn't know that.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
He was on American Idol talking about the small town in Alabama that he was from. It made a much better story than saying he was from Joliet, I guess. Mm. But anyway, it was a great night. a lot of fun.
And we will be posting over the next week. We're going to do a blog with tons of pictures because mm-hmm. we have a bunch of really cool pictures from
we
the
really
show.
We really do. Yeah. Little sweat mark on it, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's all right. In just a couple minutes, we're going to be able to reconnect with a lady that sadly, we haven't spent any time with her in too long, Roz Varon.
Mm-hmm.
Dear friend from Channel 7, you saw her for years doing traffic.
For decades.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She was the first to do traffic on TV in Chicago.
Right.
And I believe one of the first in the country.
I believe she started about the same time I started in radio here mm-hmm. doing traffic.
So we're going to meet Roz, and we're going to talk about a very special concert, and we'll tell you all about that in a few minutes. Also, old friend, we're going to reconnect with Terry White. You may remember the Yellowhammers. Mm-hmm. We first met Terry, I think it was in the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm. With the band called the Yellowhammers.
Yeah. And Terry has a brand new album out. He's bringing a guitar in the studio. He's going to pick and sing and share a little of the new album with
us. He's flying solo these days. And so he's got a big album release party coming up he's going to tell us about. And then, also in studio tonight, it's Car Night with Tom Appel. So Tom is going to be stopping by here. I guess he's hanging out downtown celebrating an anniversary mm-hmm. with his wife, Jill, and so they're going to stop by, and that'll be fun, too.
And Tom, if you're new to our game plan, Tom is the publisher of Consumer Guide.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about all things automotive.
And then next week will be computer night, so Patrick will be back with mm-hmm. us, and then we'll be into October.
Yeah.
Just like that. We blink, and boom, it's October.
One of my favorite October things, I don't recall if I mentioned this on the air or not, somebody put up a picture on Facebook, and they were saying, go ahead and do your Christmas tree decorations now,
mm-hmm.
and then just throw a white blanket over the tree, cut some holes, that's your Halloween decoration, and then when you're done with Halloween, you're all ready for Christmas.
You got a 9-foot ghost in your living room.
That works.
I think it would look really cool.
Yeah. If you were paying attention when we laid down the game plan and we said mm-hmm. we were going to be talking with Roz Varon, which we are.
We want to say hello to Roz Varon.
Hi, you guys. Thank you so much for inviting us to be on your show.
Thank you. I just posted a picture of Roz with Lola. I finally get to meet Lola. The sweetest dog in the world.
Yeah, she's super chill.
Actually, truth be known, we wanted to meet Lola.
So we invited
and
Roz.
If Roz came along, well, all right.
That's
but
right.
Lola was the deal.
Also with us in the studio is Ed Jans. Ed, thank you.
Good evening.
We had a couple seconds to talk about mm-hmm. your radio history, and mm-hmm. oh my gosh, going back 50 years.
Absolutely.
You know all the people we know that we've all worked with, and
yes.
It's a crazy small world.
It was a great career, and yeah. Sarah grew up in a family of engineering, broadcast engineering, radio, TV, and on-air talent.
Right.
And that's what molded and formulated her thinking as she grew up with all the crazy stuff she heard and saw.
Okay, but I'm going to hit the pause button because we should explain for the kids who are saying, Sarah
who?
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So Sarah is your daughter.
Right.
Yes.
And Roz, let's start with you. For folks who don't know the story, I know it's not the easiest thing to retell, but we want people to understand why you're here tonight.
Sarah passed away on January 1st of this year after a very rare illness that we didn't know about.
It happened so quickly.
It did. She was living in Albuquerque, and I drove down there in December, early December, and in 3 weeks, she was gone.
Did she just go to the hospital for a test, and that's when you found out that there was something really, really serious, and then...
You know, people ask all the time, what did she pass from? Because all I've been saying is she had a rare illness. Mm-hmm. It's complicated.
Mm-hmm.
She had a cold, and she was having a lot of trouble breathing, so she ended up getting some x-rays. They saw something, and they said, you need a CAT scan. She did a CAT scan, and they found this 7-centimeter mass between her esophagus and her trachea. And more tests determined that this was what is called a schwannoma. A schwannoma is the sheath around a bunch of nerves, and the cells in that sheath start duplicating rapidly, like a cancer, but it's not cancerous. It's benign. Mm. And normally, when people get a schwannoma, it is in the base of the brain. This, not only was this a super rare illness, but it was in a bizarre, rare location.
Wow.
And it kept growing. And by the time we figured out what it was, and we were trying to get her into, a better hospital, mm-hmm. and there just wasn't enough time.
Mm-hmm. But I recall, because I feel like I got to know Sarah, thank goodness there was Facebook, because you were so open about your wonderful relationship after you retired from ABC Channel 7. And there was a point when you headed back to Chicago after visiting with her, because it looked like things were kind of under control.
Because we were both following some of the videos that you were posting.
Posting your travel videos, going to spend time with her and then coming back home. And she was a newlywed, too.
Right, right.
Yeah. So all that happened last year, and she passed away the first of this year.
Yeah.
And
29
years old. Wow.
You know, her 30th birthday would be October 11th. That's going to be a really difficult day.
Sure. Absolutely.
And I'm going to inject here, because we're going to be talking and focusing about the Stars for Sarah concert. So if there's any of this that you don't want to talk about right now, don't talk about it.
Thank you for that. But, no, you know, it's the first time I've really talked about what she passed from, because people on Facebook and social media ask all the time. And it's, do you understand what I'm saying? It's complicated.
Sure.
Yes. And,
sure.
Ross, that's the strangest word, the
schwannoma.
Schwannoma.
Yeah, I know.
It almost sounds like a comedic tag for something.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of it. But, you know, once we found out what it was, I started, like, you know, I'm a reporter, right? So I'm like researching it like crazy. What is this thing? How did this happen? Where did it come from?
What have you learned? Is it something that a particular age or a gender? Or there's just not that information.
No, wow. I mean, it's usually, like I said,
it's just random.
It's usually in a different location, usually people who are older. I mean, how she got this thing, I will never know.
Yeah.
I mean, some people say there might be, like, genetics involved in it, but, you know, neither of our families had anything like that.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Ed, you mentioned, though, that she grew up in a showbiz, quote-unquote, family, right?
Right. Yeah, I can make a few comments about that, but I want to mention, I live in Albuquerque. She was 3 miles away, so I endured all of this with Roz there. I lived right there, and there was nothing we could do to save her.
Sure.
We tried.
Yeah.
But we didn't. But to go forward on that, yeah, she grew up in a broadcast family, my brief history is started 1970, WXFM, WCFL Radio, engineering intern with Jimmy Canales, Tommy Canales, Jim Lupus, Larry Lujak, Ron O'Brien, mentored by all the engineers there. Moved to WGN, I worked here, WGN-TV. And then I went to ABC, WLS for 28 years and moved on to other stuff, Jerry Springer, Steve Wilkos. So we had a long career in the business.
Yeah.
And she drew off of that, because she'd hear, you know, you tuck her in at night. You read her stories from Dr. Seuss and all this. Sometimes she'd hear broadcast stories from Mom. Sometimes she'd hear how the tower lights went out. She said, "What'd you do about it?" I said, "Panic. The tower lights are out."
Yes.
So, you know, things like that. You know, she got all the experiences and information that you could get from an engineering side and from a talent side. And it formulated her career into the arts.
Yes. Oh, very creative girl.
Yeah,
Sarah was incredibly
extremely.
Great.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, she
made videos. Wonderful photographer.
So artistic.
Yeah,
so artistic.
Can I take you back, Ross? Because it's been bugging me. I remember a phone call with you when we were just baby broadcasters. I think you had just left radio, and you were the first to do traffic on television.
Mm-hmm. So here's how this worked. Okay, I was listening to you guys talk about this,
yes.
right? So it was 1989, March of 89, when I started it at ABC 7. And many, many years later, the person in charge of media and promotions, she's like, "Were you the first person to ever do traffic on TV?" And I said, "I don't know." She goes, let's research this.
Yeah.
So we spent weeks researching this, reaching out, and we could not find one television station that had a traffic anchor on their morning news before me. Mm-hmm. So I claimed it.
Good girl.
If you find somebody who did it before me, fair. But we couldn't.
When we talked, it would have been about 1985 when I just started bringing the traffic department into WGN Radio, because mm-hmm. previously it had always been policemen and troopers that were out on the street. And so I was bringing it home inside, and you were working radio traffic at that time. And I think we were just a handful of girls that were doing traffic on the radio.
Yeah, there weren't too many. It was my first job out of college, I swear. My first full-time job out of Columbia College. And 6 months after I graduated, and I've been doing traffic ever since.
Yes. So you both went to Columbia College.
Yeah. Al Parker.
Yeah. Oh,
mm-hmm. Oh boy.
Al Parker. I took his commercial broadcasting class, and he taught me timing. He would say, read this commercial in 30 seconds.
Yes.
Now read it in 29.5.
Mm-hmm.
and we're all sitting here going, how do you do that? How do you do that?
Yeah.
But now, I mean, it's an acquired talent, as you know.
Yeah.
But
and it becomes like an inner clock you have. Yeah.
It does.
He was a great teacher.
He was amazing.
There's so many of us that can say, yep, we got the mark of Al Parker on us, right?
That's for sure.
You too, Ed.
Well, at WLS, he was in the announce booth. So we have announcers that were live announcers with Reggie and a couple of the other guys were there. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in that announce booth with him. I remember a story that we were in there and they had to count down and get off for the network. They were tight and they told him they had to give a quick ID, Channel 7, whatever. And they came to him, the light came on and he went, 7. That was it. But it was a legal ID.
Yeah.
Sure.
So stuff like that happened.
And while I didn't go to Columbia, I also was mentored to a degree by Al Parker. Mm-hmm. I went to Midwest Broadcasting School, and he was one of the teachers over there, too. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I will never forget, Al had all these little tricks. One of the tricks that I use to this day, he said, when you're reading copy, don't worry about the whole copy. As you're reading it, move your thumb down the side so you never lose your place.
Mm.
And it's a small trick that I use to this day.
Mm-hmm. I'm distracted by the fact that look at the fireworks display tonight.
I know. I was going to say.
It's pretty awesome.
It is. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and we have the best view.
Which is unusual because after Labor Day, the fireworks end on Saturday night. So here we are.
But they knew Lola was going to be here.
That's right.
That's actually Sarah out there doing it.
Wow.
There you go.
And that's a pretty impressive display tonight. I'm sorry, folks, I can't jump up and take pictures of the fireworks display, which I try to do every night during the summer months.
I'm trying to think, when was the last time we saw you? I think we were over at your...
Channel 7.
Channel 7 studios. Oh, I think it might have been when Les Paul passed away.
Mm-hmm.
That was the last time we were over
to
there.
The morning show.
Yeah.
You. How long were you with ABC TV?
35 years.
So you're still with them. I mean...
Yeah.
It's like we were here for, decades, and people say, well, you didn't leave, did you? You just kind of become a fixture, right?
Yeah.
We should tell people about the concert, because now we're getting a few texts saying, okay, where, who, what, when.
So take us to the beginning, Roz. How did this all come about?
So... shortly after Sarah passed away, we started a memorial scholarship fund through NATIS, the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, Chicago Midwest chapter, because I felt the need to do something to keep her legacy alive. And it was actually Val Warner who said, you should do a scholarship.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, what a great idea, because I am already on the board of NATIS locally. And they're set up. We give out scholarships, high school and college, every year, several. So they're already a, 501c3, whatever. And it was easy to do that. So we got this thing set up in time so I could announce it at her funeral service.
Oh.
And that was the first time I talked about it. So since then... I've been trying to have fundraisers to keep this thing going. And, you know, my goal is to have enough money in there to make it an endowment. So mm-hmm. it will just mm-hmm. feed itself, mm-hmm. you know. But I really wanted to do something big. And over the summer, I reached out to Ron Onesti, who owns the Arcata Theater and now the Desplaines Theater. Mm-hmm. And it seems like everybody in the world knows Ron, yeah. right?
Yes.
I know. And I said, let me pick your brain. You're such a fabulous promoter. What can I do? How can I do something meaningful that's going to get a big audience? And he's like, well, you need to do a show and get some local talent, some national talent, whoever you can get, and I'll donate the Desplaines Theater. I will donate the venue wow. for one night, and you get these people, and you put on a show. And that's how it got started. So
bless him. Gosh.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So he said, do it on a weekday. Do it on a Tuesday, because the musicians won't be busy. Don't do it on a weekend.
Yeah.
So that I said, you know, well, you're donating. You tell me when. So it's Tuesday, October 21st mm-hmm. at 7 p.m. We're going to have a VIP hour meet and greet from 6 to 7. It's an additional ticket, but, you know, a lot of the celebrities who are going to be there. Mm-hmm. We'll have that all set up so you can take selfies. We'll have a professional photographer there. And then the show starts at 7, and there is an incredible lineup. And Jim Peterik and the Ides of March are going to perform.
I'm not surprised. I'm sure there was no hesitation. Yeah, we'll be there.
You're right? Absolutely right. Yeah. I reached out, and his manager got back to me immediately. I mean, first Jim got back to me and mm-hmm. said, love to. Love you. Love Channel 7. I mean, he's been on our show many, many times.
Oh, yeah.
So they're going to do something. I've got Carl Giammarisi, lead yep. singer of the Buckinghams. Mm-hmm. He is going to be there. Eddie Volkman is going to perform. Mm-hmm. Steve Sanders is going
to
perform.
Steve and his band, the Mixapores.
They're a good group.
Yes, I know. Mm-hmm. I think he might be playing solo. Because I think the Mixapores are booked for something. But he's going to be there. He will be there.
Oh, good.
And Ryan Cheverini is going to perform. And then we've got some vocalists. We've got some comedians. We've got a bunch of TV people. And we've got radio people.
And what role will Val be playing?
Val is our MC. I did not want to MC this myself.
I understand. It's going to be just a wonderful night. It's going to be a wild night. I'm sure it's going to be just a mix of emotions, because this is going to be a success. And you wanted to give a special shout out to Ron Onesti for making this happen at the Desplaines Theater.
Thank you, Jen. Yeah, I want to thank Ron. Ron, thank you very much. And Ron Onesti and Onesti Entertainment, they donated this entire venue for Sarah's event.
Yeah.
And very generous. So thank you, Ron. And we want to fill the theater, folks. So mark the calendar, Tuesday, October 21st, 7 p.m., meet and greet at 6. Come on out, 800 seats. Let's fill it up. And maybe in summation, I would just want to say, Sarah, I love you.
Yes.
Well. And if people want to get tickets, best way for them to do that is to go to oshows.com.
Right.
And then you can click around and you will find the link for the Stars for Sarah concert, and you can purchase tickets through there. Are there any other ways you can get tickets?
It looks like that's it. So you would get to the event date, October 21st. You scroll mm-hmm. down, you get there, and then, but yes, oshows.com. That's where it's at.
Well, a listener wants to know what happens during the meet and greet. Details, please, ma'am.
Okay, well, what we're trying to get as many of the celebrity performers as possible to be there just to chat.
Oh, so you can take pictures with
them. Yeah. I mean, there's going to be food. I know Eli's Cheesecake is going to be involved in some form because Mark and Maureen Shulman are amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, always on the forefront of giving.
Yeah.
They're all about that. So.
Text from a 630 area code. Are we going to be able to take pictures with Lola?
Of course.
See, we know who the star is.
You know, I'll tell you a funny story about Lola. Well, when Sarah was alive and we would be out and about, people would recognize Sarah before they would recognize me because I would post so many pictures of us together. Now, people recognize Lola before they recognize me.
Well, Lola, as your comfort dog, goes to theater with you.
She goes everywhere.
You know, you don't have to worry about someone going to a movie theater with you because you got Lola, right?
I kind of like going with her better than going with some people.
Because she just snuggles up in your lap and goes.
She does.
And she's a listener wanted to know what kind of dog is.
She's a whippet.
Not a greyhound, a whippet.
Right. But, you know, whippets are in the greyhound family. They're about half the size.
How much does she weigh? Because you just lifted her up in your lap like nothing.
29 pounds.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. She is with, if you don't know Ross from television, you know her because of Lola.
But I'll be there for the meet and greet. I'll be there at the 6 o'clock hour with Lola.
Yes.
So people can come up and say hi to me, say hi to her, take pictures, whatever your pleasure.
Ed, you will be there for the meet and
greet. I'll be there, too, if you want a photo with me.
Okay.
and a text from a 847 area code. Will Ed share any behind-the-scenes broadcast stories?
Oh.
Not that night, but if we got 3 or 4 hours here, we could do it.
Careful what you ask for.
I know. I bet you people that you worked with will pop up and go, Ed, I remember you when we were kids.
I had a wonderful career, momentarily on that. Yes, it was. And the point is, we shared all these things with Sarah. So it influenced her creativity. She would tell Roz, I want to do what Dad did. She'd tell me, I want to do what Mom did.
Hmm.
Well, she became a blend and a mix of that.
Yeah.
And she actually wanted to be an engineer in TV, but she really ended up in still photography.
Yeah. That was her passion. And she had such an eye for photography.
Well, she was doing video, though, too, wasn't
yes.
she?
She was doing
and
everything.
Editing. Yeah. And editing.
I was so jealous of her editing. I'm like, I want to do that. How do you do that? Teach me how to do that.
Okay. I want to hit the pause button for a second. Julian, you want to jump in on this?
Because our producer, Julian, is a photographer, professional photographer.
Hi, Julian.
And I was also a coworker and, you know, acquaintance of Sarah.
See?
Wow. Okay.
Small world.
Yeah, very few degrees of separation.
Yeah.
We were talking about that before we went on the air this evening, and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you worked with her.
Yeah.
And she was a joy to work with. Everyone that worked with her, just their smiles just brightened when they saw her.
Hmm. A listener from 330 area code said, will this special concert be taped so those of us who can't attend will be able to see the concert and support Sarah?
Please say yes.
It should happen.
You know, here's the thing. Because this is the first one that we're doing.
Yeah.
Right.
And we talked about, should we stream this? How, you know, what do we want to do? Just to keep it simple, the answer is no. It's not going to be taped. It's recorded. It's not going to be streamed because we really want to fill the theater. But next year, and Ron has Ron Onesti has talked like this is going to be an annual thing. We will have enough time to plan so we can make sure that we allow it to be streamed for a lesser price.
Because you're pulling off this mega concert in just a matter of months.
I know.
Where you're reaching out to all these people and saying, okay, it's a Tuesday night. It's in October. Are you free? Can you do it?
And a point to make here is that all the proceeds from this 100% goes to the college fund. So if you stream it, you know, people might not want to come to the theater because they can sit home and watch it. So that was my first thought when I talked to Roz about it. I said, maybe we should rethink that part because we are going to have post-production shooting it for a family private video for us, but it won't be used for publicity or anything, but we'll have a document of it. So that's maybe the strategy.
Yeah. And let's really emphasize all of the proceeds.
All of it, 100%. Goes to her scholarship, her memorial scholarship fund, which is called the Sarah Jans Take your Shot Memorial Scholarship.
Oh, that's good. So photography reference.
Yes, Take Your Shot, photography reference. Take Your Shot because it's giving you an opportunity to take a shot at broadcasting. And Take Your Shot because Sarah and I were both huge theater geeks. Giving away my shot.
Take Your Shot at your dream. Take your shot at your
All of it. All of the above.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Okay. Answer this question from a listener who wants to know. Stars for Sarah Night. October 21st, will Lola be in the house?
Of course.
Of course.
Yes.
If you've been listening for the last 45 minutes, you know Lola will be in the house. I just looked here at the list at the O Show website. So Tommy Edwards is going to be there?
Well, sort of.
Okay. Sort of. Oh, all right.
His voice will be there.
Recognizable, of course. Some surprises. I see you have listed here some surprises.
We're going to be showing a video of Sarah that nobody has seen. It has not been posted. I didn't post it. She didn't post it. Mm-hmm. It was part of a college project, a classroom project. But it's amazing.
Was she attending Columbia College, too?
Yeah, she graduated from Columbia.
Really?
Yep.
Well,
here's one that nobody's talked about yet tonight. We're going to raffle off a guitar.
Now, hello.
We're not quite sure yet how we're going to... Ron wants to provide a guitar, but we're going to keep quiet on all that right now. But at the end of the performance, everybody will sign it. We're going to raffle that guitar off.
Nice.
So people have an opportunity, probably in the lobby when you come in, to buy tickets for that raffle for that guitar. Was there something else?
Yeah, we're doing two raffles. We're going to do that and a 50-50 raffle.
What's that?
A 50-50 raffle means that whatever the amount of money is in there, 50% of it goes to the scholarship and 50% goes to the person, the winner.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, once you get the guitar signed and the person gets it because they put in the highest bid, if they want to be sure that those signatures stay, we know the person to connect them with, because I had a special guitar for Steve signed by Les Paul, and they were able to take care of it. So
you have to give that information to me because I have a guitar signed by Buddy Guy.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I need to get that protected.
Guitar Works in Evanston, 709 Main Street.
Okay, yes. Got it.
Great.
847-475-0855.
I'm not going to remember that.
But he doesn't know my number, but he knows that because my number's in his phone.
Yeah.
So.
They are wonderful. Guitar Works is a place that I've been going to for years. It's where the musicians hang out.
Yeah.
It's not a big box place. This is where the people who really know and care about the stuff.
But whoever gets this guitar, it's going to be covered with signatures.
I mean, we were talking about just the musicians. I think everybody who performs is going to sign it.
Yeah.
So it's going to be cool.
That's going to be really cool.
Yeah.
Again, it's going to be a huge, huge night. If you want to be there, it is October 21st. You can get your tickets. Listener wanted to know, are the tickets tax deductible?
That's a
good question, and I will look into that because I would say my initial response would be yes, but I'm not a tax accountant, so
I would say talk to your tax person.
Yeah,
they would probably know if you show them a ticket stub and say this was for a scholarship benefit, and take it from there. Yeah. It's going to be a huge night. It's a Tuesday night, and the Des Plaines Theater, the acoustics, I understand, are awesome there. I have friends that have gone to see some of it, like the Herman's Hermits and
how fun.
Yeah. Again, as I said off the air, Ron Onesti is just the best thing for baby boomers who go, wait a minute, I remember that music. Somebody's bringing them back. And that's him.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've had two people texting us, basically asking the same question, one from Gary and one from up in Milwaukee. If they're not familiar with the area, what's the best way to get to this theater?
He's talking traffic to you now.
Well, I guess the closest interstate is going to be I-90,
mm-hmm.
the Jane Addams Tollway. So if you can get to that, now if you're coming from Indiana,
take 294.
Yeah,
get north
294 north
to I-90.
Yeah,
and if you're coming from Milwaukee,
take 294 south.
Yeah, well, it would be 94.
Yeah, 94.
And then into 294.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's basically at the crossroads of Mannheim Road 1245 at Minor Street. So the theater's
right
on Minor Street.
Station.
Yes, it is.
I think
you're right.
28, but it's on Minor Street.
Well, listener asked the obvious question, what is Osho? That is Ron Onesti's business, is Osho. And if you're not familiar with it, kids, you should check it out because you will see some names of people coming to town. You're going to go, what?
And he has done such a wonderful job of rehabbing wonderful theaters.
Yes, these great old theaters.
It's amazing. I mean, I grew up in Niles, so I used to go to the Des Plaines Theater when it was a movie theater, second run movies, right? And when I walked in there and saw what he did to it, you wouldn't even recognize it.
Hmm.
It's amazing.
That's going to be so cool. Again, this is a scholarship fundraiser in honor of Roz and Ed's daughter, Sarah Jans. And there's going to be all kinds of fun things happening that night. People like we mentioned, Jim Peterick and Carl Giammarisi, and just about everybody from ABC7 is going to stop by there, too, and be a part of the night.
I mean, there's going to be radio people, television yes. people, all kinds of musicians, comedians.
Well, a listener said, is the Steve Sanders you mentioned, is that the guy from Channel 9?
Yes, yeah. The one and only.
Yeah. Yes. A great guitar player, too.
Serious guitar player.
Yeah.
Can we book you back on the show the Saturday night before the concert to do a phone thing?
Of course.
Yeah.
Just to remind
we'll
everybody tickets
Absolutely.
And say any last minute things?
Okay. If you haven't gotten your tickets yet, you better do it, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you so much for that.
Well,
thank you.
You're going to be on the 22nd of October. You're going to wake up and go, whoa, we pulled this off.
Yeah. I hope I'm saying that.
You will be.
The closest thing we did was we pulled together a concert.
Tornado Aid.
At the Rialto Square Theater. And it was just like your head is spinning like.
But I will share, at the Rialto Square concert last week, it was the first time we'd been back there in 35 years. Possibly because when we did Tornado Aid, Johnny burned her accordion on stage.
Darn.
She did a Jimi Hendrix. I was singing and playing Johnny Be Good, and when we get to the chorus of Johnny Be Good, Johnny Be Good,
yeah.
Johnny moves to the front of the stage.
I took the lighter
fluid. Takes her accordion off.
Lighter fluid was in my back pocket. I soaked the bellows, and the audience started screaming, burn it.
Oh, my gosh.
The audience was like, burn it,
it was a
burn
moment.
It. They thought I was playing accordion, but it was a broken accordion. I was just air accordion just for just for the show. But we joke about that's why it took 35 years before they let us back on stage there. So, if I happened to find an accordion, I could stop by that night and burn another accordion in Des Plaines.
Oh, man. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Roz, thank you so much for pulling this together. It's wonderful. I feel like we know Sarah because you were so open about your relationship on Facebook. And I went to movie theaters and to plays and all kinds of fun things with you guys over the years. So thank you for pulling together because I know it wasn't easy, but I hope it was therapeutic for you.
It is therapeutic. When I do things like this, it brings me joy because she was my everything. I love her more than anything in the world.
I know. Thank you, Ed.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
thank you for
coming.
Having us. Thank
sure
you.
Sure enough. You guys take care.
Thank you.
Again, October 21st, a Tuesday night at the Des Plaines Theater in Des Plaines, and you can go to oshow.com and get details.
we
have a swinging door tonight, that's for
we
sure.
Do. We were taking pictures, and we got one of the coolest pictures of of us with Roz and Ed and Lola wearing headphones. And Lola looks
like, okay, Mom, that's enough.
How long do I have to put up with these people?
And for those of you just tuning in, Lola is not a child. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about Roz's comfort dog, a 7-year-old Whippet. Weighs about 29 pounds, and she is absolutely precious. She is just so well-behaved, and she liked me, so I'm in love. I want to whip it now. And, of course, I can't hear whip it without thinking of.
Whip it. Whip it good.
Whip it good. Yes. Oh, golly.
Oh. And we will have information about Stars for Sarah up on our blog. And we'll put something up on our Facebook page and all of our social media
and
sites.
And we couldn't give away some of the surprises, but now that we know what they are, I'm like, whoo, me, oh my, you have pulled together quite a show. We would be there, but we plan on being out of...
we're not going to be in the state.
That's right. We're not going to be in the state. We're going to be in Florida on the 21st.
We are headed. Yeah. And speaking of Florida, that reminds me. Next week, one of the people who will be in this studio with us is Becca Stark, who is our Florida producer. She is coming up to Chicago. She's going to be staying with us for a few days. And she's going to get to see this facility. And we're looking forward to that.
Yeah. She is. When we are in Florida, they are wonderful about letting us use the WKGC studios. beautiful studios at Gulf Coast State College. And Becca was a student there, and that's how we met her. And she was in the communication / radio TV department. And I don't know, did she get credit for working our show? She got some, there was some reason why she was willing to come and spend a Saturday night with us. After she graduated, she got a job as a television.
She's a news producer with WMBB in Panama City,
and
Florida.
She, in fact, does the Saturday night news. So when we are down there broadcasting, she literally finishes up the 10 o'clock news and jumps in the car and just hightails it over to the college, runs into the studio, and then she's with us until 2 o'clock in the morning. So we're tickled that she's going to come to Chicago and see the town and hang out with us for a while.
Yeah. We got so much stuff coming up tonight. Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide, is going to be joining us in the studio tonight because Tom and Jill are hanging out. I think they have an anniversary or something going on tonight. And in just a few minutes, we're going to reconnect with Terry White, who we first met with the Yellowhammers. And Terry has a terrific new album out. And he's going to bring a guitar and pick and sing a little bit.
And he's going to be having a CD release party coming up, so we'll have some details on that, too. That's happening in October. And I feel like every time I mention things happening in October, there's a part of me that thinks, well, that's a long time from now. And then I realize, wait a minute, the equinox.
Yeah.
We're into fall. I started to put on some white clothing today, and I heard my mother going, it's after Labor Day.
Yep.
Put that away, child. That's exactly how she sounded, too. It was her nattering at me for wearing white after Labor Day.
So is it Tuesday is the autumnal equinox?
Wouldn't that be Monday?
Is it Monday?
Because
you're right, it is Monday.
This weekend, culminating with the equinox, we have the opportunity to catch that Chicago Henge photo. It's a spin on Stonehenge.
And I can't wait to see what Barry Butler does.
Yeah. So you go to an east-west street like Randolph and Michigan Avenue, and you're aiming toward the east, and you get that great picture of the sun, and you're going to see it all over social media because that's what we do in spring and in fall, in both of the equinoxes. Is that right, the equinoxes or equinoxi?
Equinoxium.
Yes.
I don't know.
So that's coming up this weekend. And right now, this evening, it's the 40th anniversary of Farm Aid.
Yeah.
Which I cannot believe because I feel like I can remember a conversation that we had so clearly, like it was just yesterday.
And it was a Saturday night.
It was a Saturday night. We were new on the Saturday night show here on WGN. And we interviewed Max Armstrong, who was at the first Farm Aid in Champaign. And remember, he was talking to us on one of those big old bag phones.
Yep.
I'm thinking about him standing in the rain and the mud. And
so this would have been, 85? Yeah.
Yeah, because you started in 84. Christmas Eve. 84.
And then you joined me on Valentine's Day.
85. And then it was in September that I was hired to do the traffic department in-house, to take it from outside and bring it in-house. And you were hired then to do a couple hours overnight, and we overlapped. And they said, well, we'll give you that Saturday night thing. And we said, oh, that's cool, because then we can have performers on to talk about whatever they're going to be doing, like we do now. So we've kind of come full circle.
And Lisa Dent was at this year's Farm Aid.
She is at Farm Aid. She was off on Friday, so she could get to Minneapolis for Farm Aid. So.
And there had been some question about Farm Aid happening because there was a labor dispute that was going on.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
And the performers were not going to cross the picket line.
Really?
But then literally within about a week before literally within the past week, they were able to solve their differences.
Mm-hmm.
The contract was ratified, and the concert is going to go on.
I did not hear any of that.
Yeah.
Hmm. Of course, it's your regulars, your Willie Nelson and Mellencamp, and Lisa's going to have all the details. In fact, we may even send her a text tonight and say, hey, are you awake? You need to give us a report on Farm Aid, the 40th Farm Aid.
You know, you mentioned Mellencamp, and every time I think of him these days, and I was such a huge Mellencamp fan, and from everything we're hearing, boy, has he grown into a real jerk.
He's irritable about everything.
Everything.
He's irritable with his audience. It's like, really? You are the classic grumpy old man.
Yeah, boy, he has turned from Jack and Diane into
get off my lawn.
Mr. Grumpy Pets.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. He needs us supporting him, I'm sure. You know, rah, rah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Speaking of music, we are going to be...
to reconnect with a guy that we haven't talked to in...
decades.
Yeah, literally decades. We first met Terry White back in the, I believe, Terry, was it the mid-90s when you were with the Yellowhammers?
Yeah, that might have been closer to 2000 when we... we're with you guys. I don't know. It's been, like you said, it's been so long.
Yeah, we were young.
It's all rose. I can't believe it's 2025 when I think that.
I know.
The year 2000 seemed like it was just yesterday.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember clearly when you guys came in. Yeah. It was after midnight. We were over in the Tribune Tower. You had all that equipment. Yeah. You brought it in.
We had all five guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And you stayed till like 2 o'clock in the morning. Also with us in the studio was Rob Pierce. You were here then, right?
I sure was.
When we were talking to the Yellowhammers, because you two founded the Yellowhammers back in the day, right?
That's correct. With our pal Kevin James, the three of us did.
Yeah. How come I feel like there were a lot more guys than three?
Well, there was.
Okay.
We were the three founders, but then there was, Phil Levin and Tom Neisel were the five that came down here that night.
Yes.
And we filled up the whole L-shape thing over the other studio.
This is a pretty cool studio, though, isn't it?
Very nice.
Yes.
Awesome.
Very impressive.
Yeah. I like the view and everything. Oh, it's dark out, but I imagine the view's pretty good.
Well, Steve was commenting on me looking over his shoulder. I was actually looking at reflections of you guys out in the outer hallway there. He thought I might have been captured by activity in one of the hotel rooms.
We will explain. As you can see, there is another hotel that we look out on.
Mm-hmm. Floor-to-ceiling windows.
So one night, I'm sitting here, I'm talking, and I see Johnny is looking past me, and her eyes are getting wider and wider, because there was a couple who decided to put on a little bit of a show.
Yeah. And to get my attention, they used a flashlight. Flashlight so that I would look, and I went, oh, and then I couldn't stop looking.
Yep.
Steve's like, I'm over here, look at me.
I suppose they knew that it was a Steve and Johnny show going on.
No
right?
doubt.
Who knows?
No, I'm convinced. They're like, okay, we're from Minnesota, and we want to show them a good time. So,
but I'm going to hit the blatant plug light.
Yes.
You have a brand new album out called You Won't Have a Name. And there is going to be an album release concert,
right,
I believe.
Yeah.
When and where, and how do people get it?
So that is, it's going to be at Fitzgerald's Nightclub in Berwyn.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's kind of home for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great spot for just a ton of local musicians and national acts, everything. It's great. We've been playing there for decades, really. Mm-hmm. The first time I played there, I think, was 1985 or something. And so that's Thursday, October 2nd. And we start at 7 p.m. You can get tickets at the Fitzgerald's website. Very easy. So www.fitzgeraldsnightclub.com, I believe, is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Right. They changed hands, but the cool thing is they've decided to maintain the history of the club.
Yeah. And didn't Fitzgerald's just get historic recognition?
Yeah.
It's on the register of the National Register of Historic Places.
Yeah.
So cool. Will Duncan bought it from Bill Fitzgerald, and believe it or not, when he bought the club, I think with within a day or two, the world shut down for COVID.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
In fact, the Yellowhammers, I think we played the last show the night before the close down.
Right.
And then, so he just, you know, invests all of his money and puts it into this
new club.
Isn't
that something?
So it was tough for him. It was good for Bill and Kate Fitzgerald because they got out right before the, you know. Yeah. So the, but he's done just a phenomenal job as far as keeping it the same and yet making it his own. You know, he's still got very much his own thing going. He's really developed the used the property and added stages. So now he's got a big pavilion outside. There's been some great concerts out there since he did that. That just opened within the last two or 3 months.
Right.
And he's had, you know, Sunvolt's been out there and the Wallflowers played out there. And on and on. There's just been a lot of great shows already. So.
And for those of you listening to us around the country or around the world, Fitzgerald's is, would you agree it is the best roadhouse you will ever go to?
Yeah, I've been to a lot of them, and that's the best one. Yeah, just a good old-fashioned roadhouse that is, you know, a medium-capacity place, right? And now that they have this pavilion outside, they can really fit a lot of people out there. But the original club holds probably 400 people or something like that, maybe 350. And, yeah, it's an old-fashioned wood. It sounds great in there. Mm-hmm. They've taken measures to make sure it sounds good. You know, they invested in PA and people – good at engineers and all the rest of that.
So your big night is October 2nd.
Yeah.
Now, you're solo. Your album is a Terry White solo CD, right?
Yeah.
You won't have a name.
Where did you come up with the name? You won't have a name.
Well, there's a song on the record called Deportee, which is actually a cover song. It's a song by Woody Guthrie that he wrote back in like 1948-ish, I think. Mm-hmm. And... It's that song's about a plane crash in Los Gatos, and in the papers after the plane crash, what caught Woody's attention was that they, you know, on the people on the plane, a lot of them were Mexican migrant workers, and they were being sent back across the border. Some of them were illegal, et cetera, et cetera, and so when they mentioned the story in the paper, they had said, you know, they named all of the pilot, the crew, which were all white people, and then everybody else with and a bunch of deportees. You know, so that was
so he
says in the chorus is, "You won't have a name when you ride the big airplane.
Oh,
all they will call you is deportees." So I like that. I thought you won't have a name. I guess at some point none of us will have a name, right? When we're
be a number,
we're all gone.
So just before we took a break, I said it's like having a baby. You put a lot of effort, a lot of time in choosing the songs and actually getting into the studio to record the. Tell us about that process for this latest CD.
So that started a friend of mine, a woman by the name of Jenny Benjamin. She writes haikus, and she arranges, and she does it a lot. Every week she has a haiku that she releases to all her Facebook friends, which is a lot of people now.
Yeah.
And so then every once in a while, once or twice a year, she'll have a show where she asks all the songwriters around to write a song to the haiku and then perform it. And so that was one of the ones, and so I went in the studio to record it so I could get it. And I just went in there, did it live. The guy showed up. They didn't know the song. I just showed it to him. And while we were warming up, learning the song, the engineer and the producer are mic and everything. And then we just played it live. And
I love that.
And so I liked it. I said, I'm going to do the whole record like that. So I wrote another song, and I would collect everybody and go back in. There were a few overdubs, like some background vocals. Like Rob came in and did some singing on stuff. And some other people would do a few things. But the basic tracks are all live. And... just did them all one at a time. Took about 2 years, you know, to find the time and get everybody corralled. It's like herding cats, you know. So that was the impetus, and then they just kind of came when they came, you know, the songs
So the CD will be available CD release party night October 2nd at Fitzgerald's, and then people will be able to download to stream it that good stuff.
Yeah,
right?
You'll be able to get it on Spotify or Apple Music or whatever your streaming service is, and then on Bandcamp you can find Terry White on Bandcamp, and that's where you can buy the.
Did you know there are a bunch of Terry Whites if you Google your name?
I know.
I was kind of like, whoa! I remember what he looked like and. She ain't him. I know that.
Yeah. There's a few of them that was like, yeah.
Yeah. And then there was like a 16-year-old. Well, that's not him either.
Yeah, the one that comes up the most is there's a woman that has she's got the Terry White band or something.
Yes.
Right? I was like, oh, my God.
Because I did Terry White music, and she's the first one that popped up. So, no, we're talking about the Terry White from Chicago, right?
And I think we should shut up and let you do whatever you'd like. In fact, before we do that, let's do as close to a sound check as we're going to get. You want to pick something on your guitar for a second? Make sure.
Yeah, okay.
All right. And let me see.
Rob, what are you going to be doing? Have you decided yet?
A little shaken.
A little shaken? I can do that too.
I just got to get up from this chair.
Terry White and Rob Pierce with us in the studio. And Terry's new CD is what we're talking about. And I want to say, you ain't got a name.
You won't have a name.
You won't have a name. And the CD release party is on the 2nd of October at Fitzgerald's. But here's Terry White and Rob Pierce.
And I think we'll do... Out of Reach, which is the first single off the record. There's a video for it. You can find that on Facebook, too, if you like. All right, Rob, you ready?
Yes, I am.
Over Home Bridge, we walk in conspiracy. Talk about it, everything done secretly. You couldn't help yourself, and I didn't know there was a need. I'm standing outside the liquor store, hoping that a stranger shows sympathy. Everything, everything, oh, everything. The watch tore lives of the powers that be. We couldn't help but laugh, took nothing seriously. Not just a good friend, more an ally of a misconceived. A bitten in and falling behind, a getting high and trying to sing. Everything, everything, oh, everything.
That was cool.
Very cool.
And I think Terry's the first one to come in to play harmonica. Oh, Corky Siegel.
Corky Siegel.
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
You're in good company.
For sure. Yeah.
That
yeah.
was cool. You'll have to forgive me, but for 40 years that I've been doing this, I'm like, I get to sit here right next to them while they're playing the music. This is the best.
Yeah, it's a good
I got the best seat
yeah.
in the house, you know. Terry White is with us in studio. And Terry, this is your fourth CD, right? Your fourth solo?
This is my
solo?
Fourth solo CD, fourth full-length solo. I've done a couple of EPs, too. Mm-hmm. But then the Yellow Hammers, we've done another five records together. And that's, you know, me and Rob are... And Kevin do all the writing on that, so that's just, yeah. this is similar to the Yellowhammer stuff, you know. And
yeah.
Okay, I'm pushing the pause button for a second. How many groups, how many versions of Terry White are there out in the universe?
Well, there's the solo thing. I mean, and then actually, we've talked about the Yellowhammers a little bit, but the Yellowhammers right. really kind of grew out of another band called the Modern Day Saints. The Modern Day Saints were a band that toured all over the place,
mm-hmm.
and then we ended up in L.A. for years. Mm-hmm. And when that band broke up, there was four guys. There was me and Rob, Kevin James, that's the Yellowhammers, and then Phil Baer, who was also the lead singer in that band. And so when that band broke up, three of us came back to Chicago and Phil went to Minneapolis. So the three of us got back together when we were in Chicago.
This is sounding more and more like a soap opera plot.
Yeah, it kind of is, yeah.
The genealogy. Was there a band called the Loaded Dice? Somewhere?
Yeah, that's my solo band, kind of. So whenever it's a Terry White record, we call the guys the Loaded Dice. You mm-hmm. know, I mean, that name can change, though. It's been other. We've had the New Dealers. We've had.
Was there a Louder Milk somewhere?
A Louder Milk?
Yeah,
no, I don't know.
That's a good
that.
Name. Yeah. You should grab it. I don't know why it came to me just
see,
now.
See, I think you're missing a gig just being a promoter who comes up with group names.
Or you could say, five bands, one man, you know, come and see me.
How easy or hard was it for you to write that song?
Oh, The Laughing Leaves of Crying?
Yeah,
that one?
Because I love that title, and that almost sounds like a title that almost wrote itself.
It's a good question. And it's... So that song's been in my mind, that line, Laughing Leaves of Crying, has been in my mind for probably 25 years. And it goes back to, me and my wife went to a buddy's house for a party, when we all had little kids. Mm-hmm. So our kids were all like 6, 7, 8, 9 or whatever. And so we're at his house. He's got a big yard, and he's got one of those jumpy things, right? The kids are all jumping around. And so there's got to be 25 kids running around. And the parents are partying a little bit. So, you know, we're paying less and less attention to what the kids are doing. And so we're sitting on the porch, and it's getting kind of crazy on that jumping. My buddy, Dave Filio, he yells out, "Hey, laughing leads to crying," you know, because all the kids are laughing too much.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, "You guys settle down." That was his way of saying settle down. And sure enough, 10
somebody
minutes
falls.
Later, some kid comes in and crying. I told you. So I was like, "Oh, that's a great line. I'm going to use
laughing
that sometime."
Laughing leads to crying.
Yeah. And so I took it from, you know, the kids getting in trouble in the backyard to, you know, more of the stuff that I would get in trouble for. You know?
Really? Yeah. Yes. Your influences come through loud and clear. Is it safe to say you're heavily influenced by Dylan?
Yeah. Sure. I don't know who isn't, right?
If you're Neil Young?
Neil Young, yeah.
Yeah?
Sure, yeah.
Who else?
Well, I think everybody's influenced by the Beatles, right? Mm-hmm. You know,
but I hear coming through in your voice and your phrasing, very...
Mm. I hear a lot of folk stuff.
Yeah.
You know, somebody said, what's the... Edmund Fitzgerald guy. What's that?
Lightfoot.
Lightfoot.
Gordon mm-hmm. Lightfoot,
they said, you sound like... I'm sorry. Oh, that's interesting. Another guy did a show with a guy that... He does a songwriter show, Matt Scharf, and he introduces the guys that are on his show with him, and he called me. He said, I thought I was influenced by Jim Croce. I was like, Well, I certainly like him. You know, he's a story song kind of
writer. Yeah.
So there's, I don't know. It's a million things. I mean, from Led Zeppelin to Stones.
Sure.
You know.
You grew up in Chicago, right?
Grew up in, Oak Park, Illinois.
Oak Park. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you listen to the same radio stations, because we were talking age off the air, but we won't go into details about that.
Mm-hmm.
But you grew up listening to radio stations that had a a variety of music? Because Top 40 radio gave us everything from your instrumental to your...
From Sinatra to Zeppelin.
Yeah. All in the same half hour, for example.
Yeah, so when I was a little kid, it was always on the transistor radio. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Put it to your ear, right? And listen, even in bed at night. And mm-hmm. I think that from that 60s into the 70s, 60s was Top 40. Mm-hmm. When you get in the 70s, you start having all the radio stations around Chicago where, you know, in those days, DJs could play what they wanted to play to some degree.
And then we got FM.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
You had XRT and The Loop, and I can't remember all the stations back mm-hmm. in the 70s when I was really listening to a lot of radio.
Right,
you know.
Right.
I'm going to throw a name at you, and you may or may not know it, but I wouldn't be surprised if you do. P.F. Sloan?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I know P.F. Sloan, yeah.
Yeah. Because I hear some of that mm-hmm. in what you're doing, too.
Yeah,
Sloan was a writer out on the West Coast in the 60s, and I believe he wrote Eve of Destruction.
For Barry McGuire.
Yeah.
And he had one of my favorite albums was P.F. Sloan's first album. I can't remember anything on the album off the top of my head, but a brilliant. I mean, I hear a lot of P.F. Sloan in what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, he's one of the best. You know, those some of those songwriters that Jerry Jeff Walker is another guy.
Oh yeah,
I loved him. You know, you asked about Dylan, so I got into Dylan early, really early. Like I was 10 or 11 years old because I have older brothers that mm-hmm. were really into him, and so I actually liked the sound of him because I was too young to really understand
it. Yeah.
I was baffled by him, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm right there with you.
But I like the sound of them, you know? And it seemed like a lot of people copied them. Like, you ever hear that song Stuck in the Middle with You? If you go listen to that.
Oh, sure.
That's Dylan
all over the place.
Yeah. That's a great song, too.
Terry, are you Irish?
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit, because a couple of songs come through like shanties, like Irish shanties. I'm like, woo.
Yeah, I am 100% Irish as far as I know. My brother... No, and when somebody says they're 100% anything,
yeah.
But he went and got his DNA. You know, they did the.
Mm-hmm. So you're the real thing.
The real thing, and I've got 8 siblings, so there's 9 kids in the family.
Really?
So we're all kind of waiting to see what the results are. And he goes, we're 100% Irish. He goes, not only are we 100% Irish, we call all of our ancestors, and we're third generation. Mm-hmm. All of our ancestors come from one county in Ireland.
Really?
Which county?
Kerry, County Kerry.
Okay. I was asking because I'm half Irish on my mother's side. My grandmother and grandfather on my mom's side came over on the boat. My mom was born on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, wow.
And
you know you're eligible for Irish citizenship.
Yeah, I think that we don't because... we're just one generation too far away from it.
Okay, because really? If your great grandparents mm-hmm. are from Ireland, it's your grandparents
right.
or your parents. Yeah.
And I think our great grandparents are here too. So
yeah, if you're third generation,
miss
it.
You're thinking about it. You know?
Yeah,
nice option.
Well, we want to talk to Rob for a minute because Rob, you have a place that is literally a music school, a coffee shop, and a bar, all rolled into one.
That's correct.
What's it called?
It's called the Friendly Music Community.
The Friendly Music Community.
And where is it located?
Yeah.
You know, it's we talked about Fitzgerald's nightclub earlier, where a lot of great live music comes out of. So I'm about 3 blocks from Fitzgerald's on Roosevelt Road.
Okay.
In Berwyn. And across the street is Oak Park.
Okay.
To give you an idea of the vicinity.
Okay.
You were saying because it's a combination of all of those things, you can get a beer at 7 a.m. and a coffee at midnight.
That's correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And as I told them, those are song lyrics if
right
I ever
there.
Heard them.
Yes. Yes.
We're writing it as we talk.
That's
we're
right.
We to give you credit on that one, John, Stephen, John, both of you probably. You know. I mean.
Now, Terry, you have a regular standing gig there?
Yeah, actually two of them. I play with my buddy Pete Cimbala the first Sunday of every month. We do a matinee show at 3 o'clock. So for us old-timers.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm going to have I've got another new band name, by the way. We're going to call The new old timers.
Okay.
I like that.
And then me and Rob played with the Modern Day Saints. We played the first Thursday of every month in the evenings at 8 o'clock.
Rob, do you have regular live music at the...
Yeah, we have about 10 shows a week.
Really?
Yeah, and it's all... It's 95% no cover charge. So
just
come as you are, enjoy. You know, it's a tip-based model. People are very generous.
There's a lot of great people that play there, too.
I mean, a lot of talent. Yeah, yeah. A lot of talent in our neighborhood.
What's the story about the music school there? It literally is a music school where people can take lessons. And
yeah, so there's three doors when you walk up. The right door is the friendly tap, which I bought in 2007. And being a musician, first thing I did was get a live music license with the city.
Right.
And then it's a long story, but the next thing to happen was the middle door goes upstairs. And upstairs is the music school.
Mm-hmm.
And so the left door is a direct access to the coffee room. And so downstairs is a room. There's a door that connects the two rooms, the coffee and the bar. But the middle door goes upstairs.
And that's on Roosevelt Road in Berwyn.
Yep.
Down the road from Fitzgerald's.
Yep. And it's also an Airbnb.
There's rooms there. Stop.
I'm not kidding you. And they've got another room next door that's this community room where they have yoga classes. They have art shows, some great art shows. John Langford, for example. You probably know John.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's done an art show there. And
we got to get out there. Oh, you just go in one door and stay all day, right?
Yeah, you should.
Okay.
That's wild.
I'm going to close all the doors and say we should shut up.
Okay.
And what would you guys like to do?
All right, this next song is called Dawn on the Village Square. And it has a little bit of the Irish shanty feel to it. And so try that. It's in a kind of a 6-8 time thing. You ready, Bobby?
I'm ready. A little bit. I'd say a lot. The Irish.
I'm in times with Sharon. Her nails as dirty as mine, but only for a moment. She was leaving me behind. She was only 15 and she'd already seen the lights go out in the square. At dawn the air is so cool and new. She just floats in the atmosphere. Her mother sat smoking on the porch, her eyes like windows in the rain. I couldn't make out if she was mad or amused as she called out her name. Mary Sharon Montgomery, we called her by her middle name. She left town even before her family moved away. Her daddy made a living selling magazine ads. Oh, he was a handsome man. He and Sharon Montgomery holding hands. Summer vacations were at Crystal Lake before the city consumed her charm. It seemed the whole neighborhood headed there arm in arm. I was the only kid my age and open just to be near. The older boys laughed at whispered tales of dawn on the village square. Mary Sharon Montgomery, we called her by her middle name. She left town even before her family moved away. Her daddy made a living selling magazine ads. Oh, he was a traveling man. Me and Sharon Montgomery holding hands.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you.
What was the inspiration? Who is this woman? Or can you tell us?
Yeah, I can tell. I mean, so when I grew up, in a block. There was a lot of kids in the, back in those days. This is the 60s, you know, South East Oak Park. And there's a girl. She was actually only like a year and a week older than me, but she was two grades ahead of me because I was like born in January. She was born in like December. So she was born in 58. I was born in 60. But she ended up being 2 years. But we were friends, and she could hang with, when we were kids, she could hang with all the boys too. Mm-hmm. She could get rough with everybody else. And
so really,
we all
is,
liked her.
There really is a person behind the song.
Yeah. And so then by the time we started getting towards more middle school and started noticing her a little bit differently, you know?
Yeah.
But she always liked me, but she was really moving fast, you know? So by the time she was a freshman in high school, I think she was dating a senior or something, you know? And so, I just remember whenever I'd go over to her house, you know, her mom, I couldn't really tell if her mom was glad I was there. She seemed like she was always in trouble. You know, like she's getting grounded, and then and then, like I said in the song, she was gone all of a sudden, and then the family moved away probably 3 or 4 months later, and I don't know if she ran away or if they sent her somewhere. It was like,
did her dad really sell magazines?
Yeah, well, her dad was successful. I remember that. You know, he was successful and good looking guy and all this, but I don't. It was just a weird kind of family. Yeah.
What a great story, though, and she just disappeared.
Yeah,
that makes a good Irish story. You know, you got to have something that kind of haunts you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We have just a few more minutes with Terry White and with Rob, and we're going to shut up and let you guys do whatever it is you feel like doing.
All right. Well, when I was telling some buddies that I'm playing here, when a guy requested a song. So this isn't on the new record. It's kind of an old one that I do. But I said, well, if we get a chance to do it, I'll do it for sure. So this song's called Godmother. Well, my godmother packed up and moved to Texas when I was just 7 years old. She wore go-go boots and a mini skirt, and she died of an overdose. She was my daddy's cousin, and her second husband was a picker down in San Antonio. She used to send me a card on my birthday with $10 and a little note. Dear godson, I'm so sorry, not gonna be there to watch you grow. But life is taking me so far away, and I just wanna let you know to think for yourself and don't believe all the stories people tell. Your godmother's got a great big heart, but she's probably going to hell. My godmother is going to hell. What's that say for me? I think I'm under her spell. So Jesus, Mary, Joseph, and all the saints, please listen to my prayer. Send my guardian angel down and get her the hell out of there. Well, I remember 1978, I was headed to SIU. The night before I left, I got a call from you-know-who. Well, she'd been crying, I think she was drunk, but she wanted to say how proud she was of her godchild, a college boy all grown up. Well, I got one last
last piece of advice, and please take it to your heart. If you meet a young girl you think you'd like, treat her like she's priceless art. Oh, dear godson, I'm so sorry, not gonna be there to watch you grow. But life is taking me so far away, and I just wanna let you know to think for yourself and don't believe all the stories people tell. Your godmother's got a great big heart, but she's probably going to hell. Oh, my godmother is going to hell. What's that say for me? I think I'm under her spell. So Jesus, Mary, Joseph, and all the saints, please listen to my prayer. And send my guardian angel down and get her the hell out of there. Send my guardian angel down and get her the hell out of there.
Thank you. Wonderful. I wish you could have seen my face when you got to the punchline. I was like, whoa, okay. That is so good. Well, thanks to your buddy who suggested that you sing that song tonight on the radio. Terry, why?
We have literally less than 60 seconds.
Yes.
But we're only going to let you out of here if you promise it's not going to be decades before you visit our studio again.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Terry
White. Thanks for having us.
And Rob, pleasure to see you again after all these years. We're going to come see you out on Roosevelt Road.
Please. And again, the blatant plug light is flashing. People can see you at your album release party. Where and when?
It's at Fitzgerald's in Berwyn, October 2nd, Thursday, October 2nd, 7 p.m. start. My friend Brian Crum and his Barfly friends are doing an opening set, followed by Terry White and the Loaded Dice and extras.
So. I had a lot of surprises.
And the best place for people to get the new album is where?
Probably Bandcamp is probably the best place. You go to Bandcamp, look, search Terry White music on Bandcamp, but you'll be able to find it when it's released. It comes out the 26th, and you'll be able to get it on Spotify or Apple or whatever your streaming service is.
Thank you so much. It's been so much fun to have you in the studio
tonight.
Thanks.
Let's turn our attention to car stuff with the publisher of Consumer Guide. You're Tom Appel.
I am Tom Appel.
Yes, you are. You are Tom Appel.
Hey, guys.
Who has the best sound system right now?
Volvo, among vehicles that are reasonably achievable price-wise, Volvo, Genesis. Genesis has a number of brands they work with. One of them is Meridian. Very good sound system. Volvo works with both Bowers & Wilkins and Bang & Olufsen for some reason. And Bowers & Wilkins is usually the more expensive, more premium system, but they're both excellent in their installations.
You mentioned Volvo.
Yeah.
And I came across something the other day. I was blown away by this feature. Apparently, the new Volvos, some of them, will have back seats where the base of the seat will push back into the back of the seat so that a child in a car seat will be able to drop their legs so their legs aren't sticking straight out.
Man, I forgot about this.
Yeah.
I don't know what vehicles have that feature, but I forgot about that. And yeah, it's wonderful.
It's a great feature. Yeah. And when I saw it, I was like, wow. It doesn't seem like it would be that complicated because the seats move all different ways anyway. So now just imagine you got to the base of the seat, and if you push it back about 4 inches, now when a child's sitting there, they're not kicking you in the back.
Well, kicking you in the back and also making filthy the back of your seat.
That's true. Yes.
Yep. One of the things that I want to touch on, and I know we have a bunch of things to get to, but a major week for Ford, they announced, now this has nothing to do with recalls.
No.
But they are moving from the place that they've been for how many years?
Since 1956.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's in Dearborn, and it's been called the Glass House.
Right.
And it's huge, and it accommodates 2,000 people, and it has proudly been Ford's world headquarters for years and years and years. But beginning in 2027, I think they're going to move out, or maybe 2027 is when they demolish the old Glass House building. But they're moving to a new building just down the street mm-hmm. called the Henry Ford II World Center.
Ooh.
And the reason they're doing this is a couple of interesting things. First, it's much bigger. So the current headquarters hosts about 2,000 people. The new center is going to be about 4,000 people.
Mm.
Plus, it's walking distance from a bunch of development centers and studios. So basically 14,000 people work within just a quarter mile or so of the center. And the idea here is twofold. One, they want people to work with each other.
Mm-hmm.
They'd like the engineers to see the designers, and
good
they'd
idea.
Like the executives to see both of them.
And so synergy.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. And that has worked, it seems, in technology. So it will work for the auto companies, hopefully. But the other problem, the other interesting thing they're trying to solve is the fact that young people with talent, expensive talent, like software engineers and electric engineers, want to work places that are kind of nice and kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that building is old.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone gets their own little office, and they don't talk to other people. They don't see people.
Yeah.
And the amenities of a nice building are really key to bringing in young talent.
Am I correct? When in the mid-50s, when the Glass House was built, it was really kind of high-tech at its mm-hmm. time.
Yeah, no, it was a very nice building. Also, that use of glass is so common now, but then,
yeah.
I mean, we call it the Glass House because that was unusual at the time. And it's blue, Ford blue, oval blue.
Right.
And the new building's the same color, which is kind of nice. And it kind of looks a little bit like the old building, but it's much bigger.
And I've also read that for people who are saying, why aren't they staying in the Glass House? Because it would actually cost more, because that building is old enough, it would cost more to bring it up to the standards that they're going to be moving into than building a new facility.
Yeah, because they needed things like studios and big conference rooms and things like that, and being able to make presentations to suppliers when they come in and stuff like that. And part of the problem, too, is they lost their hotel base around there. There aren't really any nice hotels. There used to be a big hotel that was kind of the same shape across the street there in Dearborn, and it's in disrepair, and I don't even know if it's operating anymore.
Wow.
So they probably just want to be closer to some good hotels, too.
How much of an automotive center is Detroit these days? I mean, for years we've heard of Flint and any of a number of Michigan cities that were headquarters for GM and Chrysler and Ford and everybody else. But now they're kind of shifted to, they've got places all over the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So how central is Detroit to the automotive industry
right now? It's still fairly central. What happened is there's a to your point, Steve, is that the concentration of like the old big three, you know, the Detroit three, that has diminished somewhat, right? General Motors have a big presence in China.
Right.
It manufactures stuff all over the world. Ford has, I think, the largest presence here. And then Chrysler. That's how old I am. Stellantis, its U.S. operations are still in Auburn Hills. So you have that, but you have a lot of other makers doing things here that are headquartered here. You have Chinese suppliers that are headquartered in Detroit for their North American operations and things like that. So there is still a great deal of automotive stuff that happens there. It's just a little bit less Ford, GM, and old school Chrysler. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Chrysler. Have you seen, and I'm trying to figure out what this is supposed to be other than kind of fun, have you seen the Peanuts Chrysler Pacifica ad?
I have, and I'm not entirely sure what that's about.
Really. I don't get. I love it, but I'm not sure what's the point.
We both smiled. He said, "Yeah, you like it too." I go, "Yeah." Wow.
It's all the Peanuts characters, this little animated thing,
which can't be inexpensive
around a Chrysler Pacifica.
They didn't seem to get the music though.
You're right. You know what? That didn't stick out to me, but now that you've said that, I won't be enjoying the commercial quite as much as I did.
I didn't realize that dude's such a good musician.
But like us, you were like, okay, what are they trying to tell me? The Peanuts characters and the Pacifica.
I don't know. There's an all-new Pacifica coming in like 18 months, too, so we'll see where this goes.
And I'm not trying to make a political statement here, but I'm just throwing this out. The new Ram commercials.
Uh-huh.
With, boy, everything is American and rah, 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 rah.
And if you are an American, you should be driving one of these.
I'm just kind of questioning the timing of this. And are they trying to make some sort of a subtle political statement?
Oh, they absolutely are. Ram by far appeals most, I think, to conservative base. Mm-hmm. To a conservative base. And this whole kerfuffle now where they're bringing back the Hemi engine
mm-hmm.
and apologizing for taking it away is kind of depressing. Because they have this wonderful engine they call the Hurricane. It's an inline six. It's 3 liters. It produces great power. It's much more fuel efficient than the outgoing Hemi. And yet they're apologizing for moving ahead technologically and ecologically. And they're bringing the Hemi back. And
what's it going to be in? Do we know?
In the Ram pickups. Okay. It's also going to be in some Jeep products. But it's a step back, and they're literally apologizing for having made the mistake of doing something tech forward.
It's kind of like classic Coke. Yeah. We made a mistake. Forgive us. Come back.
Oh, man.
Stellantis is just doing some strange things. I like some of the things they're bringing back and some of the things they're doing, but it's like, okay, I'm not sure I get this whole picture.
No, and they just killed their electric pickup. It's been delayed, 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 and now it's killed. So there will not be an electric Ram. It was going to be called the Ram Rev, R-E-V. They are going to bring out the Ram Charger, which is a plug-in hybrid, an extended range hybrid, that they're now going to call Rev instead.
Oh.
So it's all confusing. But yeah, they've given up on the EV big pickup.
Was there no audience for that? And they finally realized it?
Yeah. Or? I mean, Ford has done okay selling the F-150 Lightning. Certainly not the numbers that we saw.
Yeah.
If you remember when they introduced that pre-COVID, like, we've got 200,000 hand raisers. Well, they haven't sold 200,000 yet. So, and then Chevy and GMC really dragging their feet on full production of the electric Sierra and the electric Silverado. Hmm. They're making them. And they just brought out a cheaper version of the GMC, a more affordable version of that. But still, they haven't opened the factory that they were going to open to build exclusively the electric trucks.
Okay, I'm going to tell you before you talk about what you've been driving lately. Uh-huh. You got to spend some time with that new Buzz, the Volkswagen ID Buzz.
Yeah.
Or is it ID dot Buzz?
It's ID dot Buzz, yeah.
Oh, that's so
dumb. It's the kind of thing that makes editors
just crazy.
We were driving in tonight and we passed one.
I did.
It was parked
on Bryn Mawr.
Was it Bryn Mawr or Devon?
No, it was Bryn Mawr. Weren't on Devon.
Okay.
At least my husband, the guy I was driving with.
Peterson.
Okay, Peterson. Anyway, it was a funky olive green color.
Yeah.
And you spent some time with it, and you said it was a very cool vehicle.
Yeah, I generally love the vehicle. It was fun to drive. It's very refined. It's an excellent electric vehicle with one caveat. But it seats six very comfortably. Mm-hmm. They don't have the seating flexibility the Volkswagen van doesn't, that like a Chrysler Pacifica does. And one of the big problems I think that families would have with this vehicle is space aft of the third row is limited.
Okay.
So I don't
if you want to put in four pieces of luggage.
That might be it. I don't think six people can take this on vacation,
mm-hmm.
which is a shame because it's a tidy package, a little bit smaller than a regular minivan, handles great, rides great, probably the best riding handling minivan that's out there, and probably the quickest, too. Range is a problem.
Mm.
It's not, I think it's 237 or 238 miles is the peak range. So that's a little shy of where a lot of electric vehicles are going these days. And price is a problem.
And you drove it only in warm weather, so cold.
I drove it in perfect battery weather.
Yeah, cold weather, it's going to be affected too.
I saw vastly better than that range. I saw closer to 300.
Did you?
It was during those beautiful weeks we just recently had, where it was like 73 during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And batteries, automotive car batteries love the same weather that we do.
Yeah.
That's that same window.
It's just like you always say that about guitars. Guitars love the same weather we do.
Well, and the rule of thumb for what should you leave your guitar out or in or whatever, if you're comfortable, your guitar is comfortable. And kind of the same thing with car batteries.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, they don't like the heat either.
Now, that ID.Buzz runs you 60 plus?
It starts at like 62, and the thing I drove was closer to 80.
What?
Yeah, and that's a problem. That's the big problem.
Yeah.
Because a fully loaded Chrysler Pacifica hybrid is like 65, and you don't need to spend nearly that much on that car. And the Kia Carnival, which is kind of the underdog out there in the market, but a very nice vehicle, starts under 40 still.
Also a six-seater, comfortably?
You can get eight in that, I think.
Really?
Yeah, with a three-place second row.
Mm-hmm. Okay, speaking of large vehicles and price, we were watching Motor Week, this past week, our friend John Davis.
Uh-huh.
And they did a review of the Cadillac, what is it, the IQ?
Escalade IQ.
Escalade IQ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Big honking vehicle.
Big honking vehicle.
It's an Escalade.
Price around $130,000?
Something like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for $130,000, why don't you get real leather?
It's not that, real.
That stood out.
We are at the end of the leather era, I think. It is surprising how many BMWs, for example,
really?
Don't have leather at certain trim levels. And like if you buy, like, my daughter just shopped for a car. There's mm-hmm. a lot of these things that look like leather. Mm-hmm. They're vinyl. And the interior she got on a fairly high trim level of the Mazda CX-30 had leather sections of it.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. But some of it wasn't leather. And then there's a lot of, what's it called? Alcantara, which is synthetic suede. Mm-hmm. And it really presents well, but it's fake.
Mm-hmm. Is that for environmental reasons or what?
I think so. Also, for other markets than the U.S., some manufacturers worry about making vegan interiors. So they have these materials that they use, these fake leather materials and things like that.
Wait, let me take you back. Why would they be concerned about vegan materials?
Because some shoppers don't want that stuff.
Well, yeah, I don't want a $130,000 vehicle that's naugahyde inside. I'm sorry. When John Davis is doing that report, and he just very matter-of-factly, and I turned to Steve, I said, oh, no, not for that kind of money.
And I looked at the seats, and I thought, our 92 Bonneville had that kind of, it's not leather, but it looks like leather seat.
I think the big thing you lose without, if you give up on leather, the thing you lose is the natural aging.
Well, yeah.
And like, BMW.
Because it gets better with age.
Yeah, the red, that kind of red-orangey interior that was in BMWs, especially in the 80s, got better every single mm-hmm. year as people wore it. It was just such a good look.
Yeah.
And you will lose that. But I think this fake stuff does wear pretty well. But yeah, you have to read the small print. If you think you're getting leather, you may not be.
And that we were having the conversation. The salesman is not going to tell you that.
No.
You're going to have to look on the Monroney and see for yourself if it even mentions it.
Or you're going to get home to clean your leather seats on your $135,000 vehicle and find out the leather cleaner ain't going to do it.
Right.
You know, anyway.
We used to, at Consumer Guide, this is a big problem with a lot of cars, where they would say leather seating surfaces.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you needed a diagram.
Just see where they were.
Parts of the seats were actually leather. But the sides almost never were on an affordable car. Yep. It was just like the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of a scam.
So if you're just joining us, we're talking with Tom Pelt, publisher of Consumer Guide. So what are you driving?
I drove down here in the 2025 Toyota 4Runner Limited. And that was redesigned about 2 years ago. And Toyota has been quickly going through its entire lineup and moving it to more modern architecture. And there's a lot of good here and a little bit of bad. The good is that it's as roomy and comfortable as it has ever has been. And these are off-road oriented vehicles, mm-hmm. right? The 4Runner is the anti-Highlander. The Highlander is the cushy suburban family car.
Right.
And this is, if you want to leave the road, you can. And these are legitimately good off-roaders. And you can equip them even more for off-road. The Limited's a little bit more luxurious. The old big V6, which was smooth and had a lot of low-end torque, mm-hmm. has been discontinued. It's replaced by a 2.4-liter turbocharged 4 that produces more power, gets better mileage. Just a little cranky. there's a little of that four-cylinder thing where you could kind of feel the shifts. Maybe there's a little bit of turbo lag, a little bit. It's just not as silky smooth as the old drivetrain. But other than that, I'm getting like 20 miles per gallon, according to the car's computer. That's pretty good for a vehicle like this, and it's quite comfortable.
I think last time we drove a 4Runner was we were out in California
mm-hmm.
seeing Patrick and Christine, and for a rental car we got a 4Runner. I was really, really impressed. Now, this would have been about 2 years ago, so probably the previous generation.
Probably.
I think it was the six-cylinder, and as you say, really smooth.
Yeah, it was a big, old, lazy six,
yep.
four-liter six.
Yep.
I can't remember the horsepower number on it. It was an impressive 240 horsepower, maybe,
mm-hmm.
but it was just easy power.
Hmm.
Yeah, it just relaxed easy power. It would be perfect for off-road driving if you did that, too, because you have all that torque down low.
Hmm.
I remember that was a case of a vehicle that I didn't think I was going to like, and came away thinking, well, I think, oh, yeah.
Didn't you really fight it at first when they tried to give it to us?
Yeah.
And you go, well, I don't know.
Because we had ordered something else.
Said,
well, yeah. Okay.
Do you ever order a rental car and get what you ordered? Probably not.
No. When we went to move Harper from, I think it was from Colorado, we rented a... we went to go rent a Chrysler minivan, and there was some confusion when we got there, and all they had were hybrids, and it's like, we're never going to be plugging in, so this is a little weird. But then they just like, go out, pick a car.
Pick a car, exactly what happened to us. Just take one.
Speaking of rental cars, what was the little tidbit you posted about a week or so ago on Facebook about one of the rental car companies getting rid of some of their vehicles?
Oh, there is... there is an Enterprise location in Palatine, Illinois that I watch closely. And one of the interesting things about rental car companies, in case people don't know this, is that their supply of vehicles, their inventory of vehicles, ebbs and flows a little bit with what manufacturers need to get rid of. And manufacturers will increasingly discount things that they've got too much of and shove them into fleets, like rental car fleets. And I don't know how many vehicles were pushed into this fleet, but there are 100 Pacificas right now. And the cheaper version, the Voyager, which is mostly a fleet version of the Pacifica minivan, at the Enterprise rental car right now.
For sale.
For sale. And the prices are impressive. Like, if you were looking for a nearly new minivan and you don't believe that rental cars are a curse, I kind of don't believe that. And there's some good deals there.
And we love the Pacifica.
Yeah.
Nice van. Great family vehicle.
I want to take you back to something you said earlier about a Hemi.
Uh-huh.
This is David in Nashville, who says Hemi is not really a Hemi anymore. It's just branding off of what was the real Hemming. Agreed or disagreed?
There's some Hemi to it. So Hemi literally means hemispherical, and that means that the cylinder head, the cylinder on top of the is actually half circle. And that's wonderful for airflow.
Okay.
So the valves are there, and they flow through this half circle, and the air exits. It's really cool. Very expensive to manufacture. And like the old Hemi, the 428 Hemi, the Chrysler Super, the muscle car engine, was a real hemispherical head. They're close, though. I mean, if you were to see the head, you're like, okay, I buy it.
David says, like the Shelby name used for Mustangs.
Yeah.
Yeah. He says, it's all next text. These are a series of texts. So the third text is, it's all BS. The fourth one is, for $130,000, you could buy 25 acres of land. We were talking about the Escalade.
You could grow your own cows.
You could grow your own cows and make your own seat covers. But, you know, back to that Escalade, wasn't you could get it tricked out over 700 horsepower?
Oh, yeah.
I think there's a V of
the gasoline-powered version. It's not 455, whatever that is. But, yeah, you can get high-performance version of the Escalade now. And there probably will be a high-performance version of the electric vehicle.
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah, which will hit the big horsepower numbers.
Well, another listener wanted to know if driving the ID dot Buzz, if it was just too much of an attention getter.
It was awful.
Was it really?
Oh, my God. Everyone was waving at me. I haven't had a vehicle like this, I think, since the original Hummer H2. Although all the waves weren't friendly in the Hummer H2.
Oh, they were awful in the Hummer.
Yeah.
I know I've told the story before when we were road testing the Hummer and we got on the Kennedy Expressway and there was construction or an accident or something and we needed to get over a lane.
No one would let us get over.
I had to lower the window and lean out with my hands in the prayer mode, please. And finally somebody tooted their horn and said, go ahead.
The Beetle, when the new Beetle convertible came out,
early 2000s,
that was a waiver.
Oh, I couldn't go to the grocery store. I'd come out and there'd be people standing around it because they hadn't seen it in so long.
It's funny how quickly.
The yellow one.
The yellow one, yes.
Yeah.
With daisies in the little bud vase the dash, you know. And I'd walk out and I'd go, uh-oh, there are a bunch of people there. How'd you get that car? Do you love it as much as it?
But some of the best waves we got were the last generation Impala. With the Corvette engine.
Oh, the SS, yeah.
Oh.
The SS. Oh.
You'd pull up to a light and people would roll down their window and toot their horn, give you thumbs up. And I'm like, yeah, this
now,
is
that
cool.
was the last generation of the big Impalas, as opposed to one of the best-looking cars that we parked next to tonight when we came in It was a gorgeous sort of a
cranberry red
Impala LTZ, and whoever parked next to us, they just had it washed and the tires and I mean it was
still down there.
Black leather interior with red stitching.
What year is that?
When did those go out? The Impala was phased out almost 10 years ago now.
It's amazing. That car is gorgeous looking vehicle.
It was, did a lot of fleet business. It did end up at some police fleets.
Yeah.
But yeah, ultimately cars just...
But you saw the one we're talking about downstairs. Mm-hmm. Stunning.
Yeah, very attractive.
Yeah. Wow. We're taking some questions for Tom, too, at 312-981-7200.
While you're looking up, I will say blatant plug light is on, so if people want to check out Consumer Guide, what will they find?
Oh, yeah, check us out at consumerguide.com. I did recently write a piece called How Big is the Volkswagen ID. Buzz? So I've got dimensions there for all the minivans right now, and you can compare them. And then I've had a pair of reviews. They're a little bit different, but Jill Simonello, my co-host on the Car Stuff podcast, did her take, and I did my take of the Ford Bronco Strop. So those are now published.
The what?
The Bronco Strop. That is the special off-road version named for Bill Strop.
That was the one that we were supposed to spend some time in.
That's
We couldn't.
And we thought that Tom was No, we didn't really think you were misspeaking.
We may have, or I did. I think Fred.
I looked it up. There's a man.
I think I was calling it Stroppy.
Yeah, that's right. Stroppy. But there's a man.
Yeah, but it is Strop.
Yes.
Yeah, named for an engineer.
By the way.
So Consumer Guide, and what else will they find there? They will find new car reviews.
Yeah, new car reviews, fun stuff I did. I did a piece, too, tracking down the origins of the different nicknames for BMW, Beamer or Bimmer, and it matters. So if you have a BMW and you have the sedan or a coupe and you're calling it a Bimmer, you're making a mistake per BMW. So check out that article.
And what's the article I saw recently about explaining transmissions?
Oh, yeah. I did a what is a transmission piece. And it's kind of an interesting piece only because electric vehicles don't really have transmissions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can select reverse or drive, but they're one speed. So we're getting into an era slowly where there won't be transmissions. And how many hybrids don't really have gears either? They use planetary gear sets that are augmented by the electric motors. Mm-hmm. So they don't have traditional stepped gear transmissions either. So I just want to kind of clear the air because I talk a lot about that.
Yeah.
And like I recently drove the Audi S5. And the it's a coupe sedan thing. And the A5 comes with an 8-speed automatic. The S5, the high-performance version, comes with a 7-speed double-clutch automatic. And the double-clutch can be aggressive for some people. I love it. It was sporty and
well, it frightens me.
Yeah.
Wow. So, double clutch.
Yeah, double clutch transmissions are interesting because they don't work like a regular step gear automatic like we've had around for 100 years.
Yeah.
Instead, double clutches have two clutches and they're concentric.
What?
So one of the clutches is set up for the first, third, and fifth gear, or maybe first, third, fifth, and the other's 2, 4, and 6. And the reason it's like that is that one can always be engaged. So super fast shifts, really smooth. They can be smooth. They can be terrible. Manufacturers have done a really bad job with this. Volkswagen and Porsche tend to do an incredibly good job with this. And Audi.
I just want to get in the car and turn the key and go. That's kind of scary to me, a double clutch.
It's called the double clutch DCT. A lot of manufacturers have their own names for it. And yeah, if you're buying something sporty like that, just be careful in the test drive to drive it in traffic.
Drive the one you're going to buy, too. Yeah. Whatever you do, don't test drive one and then they say, but I want a different color. And then you pick up a car that doesn't drive anything like what you road tested.
Yeah. And it's, it's frightening too when you think about like Tesla. Mm-hmm. So many people buy those sight unseen. They go online and they buy a Tesla and they haven't test driven it. It's like you're in for such a jolt when you get that vehicle if you're coming out of a conventional old school car. All the controls are in the touchscreen, they don't have a turn signal stock. Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a switch on the steering wheel. No, they're going back to the stock.
Oh, golly.
We need to get to recalls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, quickly, can I sneak in this listener's question from 708 area code? She said she has a bad back and she absolutely has to sit sideways and swing her legs around to get into a car. Do you know of any car that would have a swivel seat that would accommodate her? And I know there have been cars like that in the past. Remember minivans? The back seat, we could swing around so the kids could hop in and out. Not many choices today.
No, and you're not going to find them anymore, unfortunately. It's a safety thing. The closest thing you could do, probably the best thing you could do, is find a car that has really big opening front doors and that the seats, the steering wheel collapses as far forward as possible. And that'll make it a lot easier.
The only problem with the really big front door is you have to kind of fall out of the door to get the handle to close the door.
That's true.
You know, cause
that's actually true, yes.
Because I find myself, I'm like laying out over here trying to, and I'm not a short person, so, but sorry about that. All right, Ford is on the list of recalls again for September.
What was the Ford recall? Oh, here it is, yeah.
See, I knew there'd be one.
You were right. Ford, and I think this one was relatively newly announced, but 2016 through 2019 Ford Tauruses, 100,000 units. Strange, what is it? Power steering? Yeah, so you'll be hearing about that. The thing about this, the good news is consumers didn't buy a whole lot of Tauruses. Those were those were fleet cars, so this isn't going to affect too many individuals. Also, they say that the actual take rate of the problem is like 1%, but they don't know which, so they have to look at everything.
Sure, sure. Ford also has a rear view camera that could fail due to water intrusion. And that's on their 15 to 19 F-350s and the Ford Mustang from 15 to 19 and the Ford Ranger from 19 and the Navigator from 15 to 17. Dealers will inspect and replace the rear view camera if needed. Hyundai has a seatbelt recall for 20 to 25 Palisade models because the seatbelt may not latch.
Yeah, and that's another one where it's a very small number of them that will actually be affected. But it's the Palisade. And then for some reason, a car that we never think about anymore, the I forgot the name of it.
The Ioniq.
Because you never think
the
about
Ioniq,
it.
Yeah. And it's not the new Ioniq 5. It's not their new electric vehicles. The Ioniq, the old Ioniq, which was a vehicle that could either be hybrid, plug-in hybrid, or all electric. It wasn't sold in every state and every configuration, but not a lot of those out there, but that's also affected by this.
I guess I've always called it Ioniq, but it's Ioniq.
It's Ioniq, yeah.
Duh.
Yeah. And
I just do this for a living,
that's,
you know.
That's the name of all their electric models, not Ioniq.
I just saw this one pop up. Ford is recalling Rangers again, this time for an airbag problem. 100,000 Ranger pickups. I know. God bless them. Hang in there, Ford, right?
They may not be able to afford this move.
Do we know where we are with the Toyota engine recall? Are they still replacing all of those engines?
They are. And the funny thing about that is that there's a very similar recall now, similar volumes of vehicle at Chevy and GMC for their 6.2 liter VA, where the lifter can go bad and do bad things to the inside of the engine. And it's all very controversial because General Motors is kind of like dragging its feet on replacing the engines. They don't want to do that, so they're inspecting the engines. And then heavy people use heavier grade oil. And the problem with that is that heavier grade oil may not fix the problem, and it's going to affect your fuel economy. So people would rather not do that.
What does that do to people who use synthetic oil?
This is synthetic oil.
Okay.
So it's all synthetic, yeah. We have our first ever recall from Polestar.
Oh!
I don't know if we want to celebrate.
For their name?
The Polestar 2, 28,000 of them, 28,000 of them having a problem with the rear camera. The camera may not display in reverse. So.
Polestars are made where?
Polestars are, that's a long story. They're made in China mostly.
Okay.
Which is why they're having such a hard time selling them right now in the U.S. So they're actually moving production to different places. But for a little while, they were actually importing the vehicles from China and eating the ridiculous 102.5% tariff or something like that. But they're moving production to different places.
Have you ever driven
Korea.
One?
I am getting one in a week or so.
Really?
Yeah. Otherwise, I spent a very little amount of time in the Polestar 2, which is a small car. But they also make the Polestar 3, which is like a compact crossover, compact midsize crossover. And then they've got a coupe version of that, which is a four-door, so it's all very irritating. But that's in the lineup, too.
Before you get out of here, a couple of people said, and George is one of them, please, Tom, repeat the rental car place that's selling the Pacificas.
Oh, it's the Enterprise retail lot in Palatine, Illinois.
And they're literally selling them. I mean, it's not like you're going to call them and go, who told you this?
No, they're there, and they're in inventory. And you can see that. You can go online and just check
Enterprise.
Really? Yeah.
Okay, question. If you buy from Enterprise or any rental car place, what kind of a warranty should you expect to get?
You just get the remainder of the manufacturer warranty. They don't generally enhance the warranty at all.
Okay.
So you want to look for something with low mileage so that you still have some of that warranty left in case something is wrong. And there is something that Enterprise does specifically, like 30 days or something like that. I don't recall what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have some time to live with the vehicle and make sure everything's cool.
Well, again.
Yeah.
And when we were talking about $60,000, $70,000, $100,000 for a car, it's nice to know that at least there's something out there.
Yeah.
Right?
Pacificas are wonderful.
Yeah. Agreed. See, that's the one thing that people, they woke up and went, whoa, there's something under $60,000. And what were you driving down here tonight?
I drove the 4Runner, the 2025 Toyota 4Runner Limited.
And it seats how many? Listener wants to know.
Oh, five.
A five-seater.
Yeah.
Okay, so bench seat in the back.
Yep.
Second row. All right.
Before we let you get out of here, people want to follow you. They can, go to Blue Sky?
I'm on Blue Sky, and I'm on Facebook, too. Also, you know, it would be great if people followed the Car Stuff podcast on Facebook, trying to build a following there, and we always forget to mention it.
Mm-hmm. That's award-winning podcast.
The award-winning podcast. Thank you, yes.
But on Blue Sky, it's Car Guy Tom.
That's me.
And then go to consumerguide.com, and you will find new car reviews, used car reviews, and all the ships at sea.
That's right. Thank
Lots
you, Tom.
Of stuff. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
We should mention, too, coming up next week, full show next week, and in studio with us is going to be Paul Seabar.
Mm-hmm.
Those of you who been around the Midwest for a long time know Paul. He does radio shows up in Milwaukee.
Right.
He has had some wonderful albums out. We last saw Paul.
He was
at
opening
the City Winery opening for
James Hunter.
James, was a great night.
It was a great double bill too, because Paul was killing it all by himself. But he's got a new CD out that he's going to tell us about.
Paul will be joining us, and also it's computer night, so Patrick Crispin will be joining us. And we'll have a surprise or three for you next week.
And then the following week, the first Saturday in October, we're going to be joined by Tommy Emmanuel, because Tommy is coming to this area. He's going to be performing on the 15th of October at the Kahn Auditorium up in Evanston. And he'll have a brand new CD that he'll be talking about, too.
And if you have never seen Tommy Emmanuel, go. Those of you who have been with us for more than a day and a half have a clue about what Tommy is all about. And if you would like to see some of Tommy's videos, go to the Steve and Johnny YouTube channel. And you will find a ton of videos from Tommy's appearances. I think one of the videos, I believe we're up to about 170,000 some odd hits on his Beatles medley video. But next week, full show, 9 o'clock start.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget to check out our blog. That is stephenjohnny.wordpress.com. And yes, we would like you to subscribe to our blog. It's free. We don't spam you. You will just get an email anytime we do a new blog post. And we put a lot of stuff up there that you won't find on some of our other social media sites. And over on the right side of the blog, there's a whole list of categories. And you can scroll through the categories. Mm-hmm. Some of them have Johnny's recipes or Johnny's trees. Or there are things about different artists that we've had on the show, or our tributes to some people who have passed away that we were fortunate enough to spend some time with.
And a lot of pictures, too.
Yeah. So just check out our blog at stephenjohnny.wordpress.com. And we really would appreciate it if you would subscribe, because unlike the other social media, we control our blog. So if somebody decides they don't like what we're doing, you'll still find us on our blog.
That's right.
It's time for us to do some shouts. And let me start with some of the shout-outs to some of the countries that are checking out our blog, and we hope you will. You will, Mr. Artery. Okay. Our blog is stephenjohnny.wordpress.com, and as I said, if other places might decide that we shouldn't be there, we'll always be at our blog. And you can subscribe. It's free, and you just get a – we don't spam you. You just get a notification anytime we have a new post. Some of the countries checking us out, lots from the United States, of course. This week, the U.S., France, Australia, Austria, Ireland, Germany, China.
Come on.
Sweden, Poland, New Zealand.
What?
And the United Kingdom. So thank you to all the people listening to us and checking out our blog across the globe. We appreciate it.
That is pretty cool. All right. I know it's a little late, but I said we would get to this. And this is a classic case of keep listening. We will get to our shout outs. And there are people going, I'm in a different time zone. Come on, lady. We want to give a shout out to Dave and his wife, Nicole. Dave has been with us. In fact, he said that he grew up listening to me. Bless your heart, Dave, and his daughters, Sophie and Irene. He's got the whole family listening to the show now. So thanks a bunch, Dave. We really appreciate that. Penny and Dave have been driving on the D.C. Beltway listening to us tonight.
Cool.
Jan Reinhardt is in the laboratory, as she is on Saturday nights. Stacey Drager is out in Algonquin.
Sure.
It's getting late. See?
Well, we're losing the good words.
Yes, I'm
Algonquin in Brooklyn.
What? Sherry Hanrahan is out in Romeoville. David Shine, Ascend Bulldog, class of 64, listening in Mount Prospect. Also tonight, this is sweet. Miriam says, I love Saturday night when I can be with you. It's my favorite time each week.
Well, thank you.
Mike Ski is listening in Elmwood Park. Sherry's in Bolingbrook. Ken Fallett and his dog Gus have been tuned in from Pullman, Michigan. George Clemens is one of our regular listeners in Augusta, Georgia. Also listening tonight, let's see, we got here. Oh, Laura and her dog Cotton are out in Willowbrook.
Mm-hmm.
And
hi, Cotton.
My
come here, Cotton. Come here, Cotton.
I just like hi, Cotton. my favorite name to say on the radio is Bing Besh. Bing Besh is listening in Winfield.
But we added another one last time we talked about Bing Besh. It was Bing Besh, and we thought they should form a duo.
Yes.
Bing Besh and...
I don't think he's listening tonight. We probably offended him, so he ran away. He was also Double B's.
Yeah.
So it was like the two Double B boys. Never mind. speaking of bees, Bonnie and Butternut is listening. Tracy Douglas tuned in from Savannah. She attended the jazz festival this afternoon or Saturday afternoon. Bobby Danos, our buddy out in Sandwich, Illinois, is listening. And he was tuned in tonight as a big fan of Roz Varon's. And it was delightful to talk with Roz this
evening. Yeah, it really was.
Peter Jacobowitz is in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin, listening on his CC radio. Lynn Kinzer is in San Antonio, Florida. Debbie Tusick is out in Sandwich as well. Hi, Debbie. Beverly Ann Goodall is in Highwood, Illinois. Robin Aiken is in Port Charlotte, Florida. Joan Smith is in Holland, Michigan. Terry Brock is in Bridgeview, listening on his Sea Crane radio. Judy B. is in Oak Lawn. Brian Lefevre is in Bridgeport. Nancy Kirschheimer Hollins is tuned in Northbrook. Diane Kappas says, can't wait for the show. Better than TV. Thank you very much, Diane. Sharon Malone is in K-Town. Roger Camp is in Shade, Ohio. Mary Gold is listening in Tinley Park. Susan Powell is in Memphis.
Memphis.
Michael,
thank you very much.
Besky is in Waukesha County, Wisconsin, listening on his CC Pocket Radio. John Kane tuned in. Wendy Koziel is in Bartlett. Gene Jacobson's in Milwaukee. Margot Moore's in Albuquerque.
In fact, Gene also posted on our blog, and she said she would be listening tonight from Milwaukee on her Sea Crane Radio with Sea Crane Pillow headphones.
Ooh. John Couture is in Warren, Michigan. Hi, John. Dorothy Orsini is listening to us with River. She said, we are tuned in on our clock radio in Pell Lake, Wisconsin. Helen Thomas is in Kenosha. boy, Wisconsin is well represented tonight. Larry Mann's in Miami, Florida. So is Florida. We've got like six different cities in Florida tuned in. Mark Schroeder's in Neenah, Wisconsin. Susie Marie Schimmel is tuned in Glen Ellen. Louise Palish is in Norwood Park on the northwest side of Chicago. Ellen Maria's in Marengo. Ryan Corcoran is in Waukesha. Rosemary Gleason is at the Annie Oakley Ranch in Grove, Oklahoma. And every week that I say her name, if we're lucky enough that she tunes in, I think we need to talk about that place. Nancy Witt is in Milwaukee. Janet Gellert is in Gainesville, Florida. Sandy Blackwell is in Peoria. Gary Hoyne in St. Charles. Debbie Hardiman in Waukesha. Waukesha, just we're a local station to Waukesha. Mm-hmm. It's great. Elizabeth Blackmore Holland is tuned in. Michelle Fairfield's in Peoria. Gail Maslin is in Lake Michigan. Well, across Lake Michigan.
She's in Lake Michigan?
Hey, let's be nice to her. She's got a cottage in northern Michigan in Lake City. Steve. Carrie Hunt is tuned in Ruskin, Florida. Priscilla Gilbert Steg is in Joliet. Larry Mann. He said, cool hearing the old Art Bell theme song at 9:30. So that was the tune that, what's his name? The guy I'm pointing to over my shoulder, Julian, chose.
Oh, what? Sorry, I lost it when he was doing his drowning voice.
Who did you play your dealer's choice at 9:25? It was a nice little instrumental.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hold on.
Yeah.
I think it was one of the many themes that Bell used.
Yeah, because it didn't ring a bell to me. But anyway, Jeffrey.
I get it. Ring a bell.
Yeah. Jeffrey Welshens is
in. You think
in
we don't plan this show?
Elkins, West Virginia. Roy Phillips is in the middle of Ronald Reagan's hometown and birthplace, listening on his app. Marie Prudence is tuned in. Bonnie Pearson, Grays Lake, Illinois. Nancy Tomaszewski in West Allis. Scott Cooper in Naperville. Chuck Snitchler, our buddy from Hobart, Indiana. Ooh, Eric Baum did check in tonight. Yay, he sent an awesome picture from Wells Beach, Maine. He's been under the weather this week, recovering from surgery. Tonight's picture is looking back from the ocean at sunset with the moon rising.
Speaking of pictures, did you see the bleep? It just went away. A picture, I have to bring this up again, and I will.
Diane Vasquez, our graphics guru, tuned in with some cute graphics tonight. Thank you, Diane. Rita Reggie is listening in Denton, Texas.
Okay.
And?
This is a picture that was sent in by 319 area code, saying, love the picture Susie sent out announcing her tour. Y'all look great. And it's a picture of us with Susie Boggess from last week at the Rialto Square
Theater. Do we look sweaty?
Not as sweaty as we all were a little earlier. This picture was taken.
Do I look like a drowned rat?
No, this picture was taken in the last half of the concert.
Okay.
Because the first half of the concert, oh boy, were we all. It was just.
It was such a fun night, but they can't cool that place down when the back door was open. You know what? I bet there were 100 people that were involved to go on stage last Sunday.
Oh, yeah, at least.
So that was a swinging door, and it was hot outside.
We may have to save this picture. That's one of the. None of us look as hot as we were earlier that evening pictures.
You don't see a little driblets of perspiration on the tip of my nose?
Nope. Okay. And you see Susie holding up her award.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a beautiful award,
yeah,
too.
Great award.
Yeah, she was first country singer to be inducted into the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum, Route 66 Rock and Roll Museum. Alabama's tuned in tonight. Doug Youngen is Naperville. South Dakota checked in tonight. I lost his text, but he said, did I miss it? He said, I was hoping to get in time to hear my name. Sorry, South Dakota.
I think we better wrap this up because I see the blue light starting to flicker.
The blue light is starting
and
to flicker.
I'm starting to hear it. Yep.
Oh, isn't that amazing?
That's Big Plug Bob on his Zamboni.
Yeah, he's like clockwork.
or
stop. I have to go to the bathroom already. We need to take a break, and I need to get my ID card out and run. Coming up, the final few minutes of the show.
And we're going to insist that the last caller have something pithy to say tonight.
Ooh.
312-981-7200. It has to be a pithy comment.
Pressure is on. Really?
So pithy comments only.
We've just proven for 4 hours and 50 minutes we didn't have a darn pithy thing to say.
Well, that's true. We didn't. On second thought, 312-981-7200 if you want to jump in and be our last caller. And if you are a last caller, you can win some goodies. Mm-hmm. If you haven't won anything from this here radio placed within the past 60 days or 2 months, whichever comes first.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give a quick shout out to a gentleman says, I tune in early to your show so I don't miss a minute of Wolfman Jack.
Yeah. Okay.
Actually, he's a regular Saturday night listener, former Norwich native, Dan Lewandowski, who's now listening to us in the southwest suburbs of Wichita Falls, Texas.
Cool.
So now we're up to 19 states that tuned in tonight.
Do we mention Jeffrey around the corner? In the Gold Coast, listening?
Well, no, because, you know, he's around the corner. Okay. I'm sorry, Jeff.
Did we mention Marlene Kowasinski in Old Norwood Park across from the oldest house in Chicago?
Chicago, yeah. I didn't mention Dean in Indy. Where are you people?
What the heck?
All of a sudden, I looked at the text line and...
Oh, boy.
And let me quickly mention, too, Rick Lyson in Lawrence, Kansas. We're up to 20. We're up to 20 states tuned in tonight.
Okay.
Because Alabama tuned in as well. So we're up to 20 states. Cool.
Okay. Since we weren't here last week...
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't seen Julian for how many weeks?
Well, since August. Because he was gone on the 6th of September because he didn't want to come in here and celebrate my birthday. And then we were gone on the 13th.
It was just,
throw me under the bus.
But you get to pick tonight's last caller.
Ah, crud. Pressure. All right. I'm going to go with caller number one. I believe that is Laura. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Laura. Where are you calling
Steve
from?
And Johnny, I love your show.
Hi, Laura.
You're the one. Thank you. Where are you calling from?
Willowbrook, Illinois.
All right.
Why are you up at this hour?
Yeah, because you're wide awake.
I know, really. Well, I always listen to you, so I got to make sure I'm wide awake.
Good.
But my dog, you know, my fluffy dog Cotton that you talk about.
Come on! Wait, yeah. You're Laura and Cotton?
Yeah.
Oh,
we're
cool.
On our way home from having late breakfast, early dinner or something. I don't know.
Oh, that's so cool to finally talk to you because every week we laugh about the fact that Cotton is tuned in and Steve tries to get Cotton fired up.
He just loves the show.
So where did you have a late dinner, early breakfast?
The only place around here other than... Basically, IHOP, International House of Pancakes.
What? Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Because we've been debating, what are we going to have when we get home? And it looks like we're going to have tomato soup and a grilled cheese sandwich.
Oh, that sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I used to love at IHOP?
Hmm.
They're waffles.
Waffles, really?
Yeah.
Hmm. I don't think of IHOP as being a waffle, but what did you have?
Well, I was hot. I had a beef and egg taco.
Huh?
Yeah, beef, egg, onions, jalapenos, and peppers. Like, I didn't know all that came on there. I forgot to tell them to leave off the jalapenos. Like, that was weird.
You know what?
Spicy.
I got to tell you, the whole combination sounds kind of weird, and I love spicy and, like, scrambled eggs and beef.
Yeah.
Really? Is it on a flour tortilla or a corn tortilla?
It was flour.
Huh. That's suddenly I'm not quite as hungry as I
That's
was.
That's like a regular breakfast for me in my house.
Is that a regular breakfast in the Salderna house?
Oh, yeah. Tortillas and jalapenos.
Really? Mm. I love jalapenos and scrambled eggs, but I'm not sure about the other combo. Well, anyway, I hope you had a good time. And now I'm so hungry, we're going to be eating crackers in the car going home.
Yeah, I think we probably are.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
So you do tune in to the top of the show because you're one of our first people to text in early in the program, right?
Yeah, I think so. I didn't realize I was in so early.
Yeah. Well,
sometimes I forget what your blog is or whatever, so I just send you a text.
That's fine. That's fine. And the funny thing is tonight I had at least three people that were shocked when I answered a question because they didn't know that we actually answered the text. They're like, will you tell Johnny so-and-so? And I go, well, thank you for telling me that. Oh, I didn't know you would see this. Oh, I had no idea. So,
cool.
Well, anyway.
So what are your plans for Sunday?
Oh, gosh.
Sleeping?
Patton and I are going to watch the Bears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, get a good rest before that, right?
I know, right? They're like, okay, am I going to torture myself at the sports bar or just watch it at home?
You know what? If you
but,
go to...
But after the... But regardless of what happens, you have to listen to Hamp and OB after the Bears.
Oh, gosh. Oh, they're the best.
Yeah. And remember, if you want to listen to the pregame before they get really fired up and start with the veins popping in their neck,
yep.
That's 11:30. Oh, yeah. 11:30 in the morning. It's going to be early. It's going to
be, thank you.
It's going to be really early.
I can't wait to miss. I don't want to miss them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm so happy we didn't miss you tonight. Thank you for listening on a regular basis, and I'm tickled. And what kind of dog is Cotton?
He's a 10-pound Bichon.
A Bichon.
Yeah, he's a little white guy.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have to send you a picture one of these days.
We do.
Oh, please
yes,
do.
Yes. Are you on Facebook at all?
Yes.
Did you see the picture of Roz Varon with her whippet? Lola?
No!
Yes!
It's on the Steve and Johnny Facebook page.
Yes. Oh, she and Lola's her comfort dog, and Lola goes with her everywhere. And Lola was so sweet, sitting up in her lap, nuzzling her. And we put headphones on Lola and got a cute picture, and such a sweet dog, and a great story, too. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because we used to own a Whippet years ago.
And she said hers is like 29 pounds, and she picks it up like, you know, it's...
like it's nothing.
Like it's a purse dog, you know? Yes. Well, it's a pleasure to finally meet you. Thank you so much for listening, Lauren. Thanks for checking in tonight.
All right. Thanks. I love your show, everybody. You too.
Thank you.
And give Cotton a hug from us.
That's right.
Hold on for a second, and Julian will get some information from you off the air.
And we're going to send you an official WGN Radio T-shirt.
Wow, this has been a fast five hours.
We want to remind people again that Chicago Hinge will happen. You can catch something on Sunday night, but Monday is the equinox. We're officially into fall. When we come back next week, it's autumn.
And we will be back next week with a full show starting at 9 o'clock. And among our guests will be Paul Sebar. He'll be in studio with us, picking and singing a little bit. Patrick Crispin will solve some of your computer problems. And in the meantime, please check out our blog. We would really appreciate that and subscribe to it. It is absolutely free, steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. And I think we're out of words.
Okay.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Stay safe. We'll talk to you next week.